down to my last $2. This chick to my, she want mink coats and diamond rings, a black navigator and things.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Ladies and gentlemen, how's it going? This is D and Larry Show once more and again on a Saturday night. Doing what we do best here at clocksoft.com. There's discussing drag racing, what might be good for it, what might be bad for it, who raced today, who didn't race, who paid the park out, who didn't pay. We're going to try to get some information from a track out of Maryland, one of our Chicago's own. Chicago Most Wanted was up there. And to my knowledge, he had three races locked in. And before we make an announcement on what's going on and what didn't happen, we're going to try to get some concrete evidence here before we can tell you guys anything about that. But we know that Donyer and their rigor is there. I talked to them myself earlier. I know they're there. And I must eat crow myself because I told Brother Wick and a few more guys that I still didn't believe it, but it came true. I just didn't believe that Tony Brown was going to even bring his car through the gate to try to play with their rigor. But I've got information today that not only did he show up, he came through the gate and locked in. To my knowledge, they are locked in to run. I think he wanted to run Tony Wright, I believe he's supposed to run first. And then I understand he's locked in Lil Rick and Tony Bynes. So if the North can win, like we're hoping they do, we should fare pretty good this week as far as the win-loss go with the North against the South. But with that being said, we got a couple of guys, I believe, from the way it looks, I believe I got a couple of callers here from North Carolina. I'm going to give you more information on it later on the show, but I understand that one of our drag racing brothers has went on home, and anyone that's under the sound of my voice at this time know this is not this place here is not promised to us. You know, this is not promised. We're going to discuss racing in a minute, but you know we have to acknowledge when one of our brothers has been called on home to glory, and this place here it's not our home. It's not it's a resting place. It's a stop off. Like you travel down the highway and you have rest stops. That's all this place is that we call heaven. We understand that one of our brothers out of the North Carolina area was called home. And we're going to acknowledge the family and do a little prayer for them later. You know, because the Bible tells us that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. God don't make no mistakes. You know, he do a lot of things that man may not agree with and may not want to accept. But one thing about my Lord and Savior, he won't do, and that he don't make no mistakes. The Bible says he don't shorten his word. And if he said it, we must believe it. In his word, he said that sure the man born, he said you must die. So the thing to do is to die right. I don't per se personally know the brother, but he was a brother because he's a drag racer. And then he's gone home now. So like I said earlier, we're going to get a little more information on it. And once we get a little more information, we'll come back to it. I'm going to check with my number one sidekick to be calling. Hopefully my number one sidekick to be calling in. And give us a little update on what he's got here. And I do believe I have a couple of callers here from North Carolina. Like I said earlier, we'll see if my producer can get a couple of mics open and let me see what they got on the mind. And hopefully we have a good show. You know, have a good show here. We listened to our brother last night from Clocks Off was Cadillac Joe and Baby Boy. And, you know, sometimes a topic just be so hot until I guess it's like a big booty, big leg woman. You just don't want to turn it loose. And that's kind of like what's going on here tonight. Because I'm trying to eat the wife through the day, forget it, real. I'm trying to eat. We have a block club here today, and our block club party really got wild. But I'm trying to say is that sometimes you have a topic that you just don't want to turn loose for whatever reason might be. But in a drag race, it's normal because it's just so good. Well, last night touched on a topic, and we're going to try to expound a little further on that. The topic last night was, should we, I'm kind of changing here, but it's basically the same thing. Should we kind of bring this money thing down to where we can get more races off? So if you're betting more than you can stand to bet, and you choose to pay the lockup off than to run the race, wouldn't it be a lot easier to just lock in $1,000 or lock in $500 and get whatever you want on the side? If there's more money to be betted, you can stay in the bet. Make a side bet. You know, side bets don't hurt the pot. I'm sorry, side bets don't hurt the race. The big pot's what hurts the race. Last night, it was brought up, and tonight I'm going to try to keep a little notepad like I normally do, and see who's for it and who's against it. You know, I know some guys' pockets are deeper than others. You know, I understand that. But when your pockets are so deep that you hurt the race, you haven't done anyone any good, including yourself. Because to my knowledge, the ultimate goal in this drag racing, grudge racing, I'm an old school, so it's hard for me to get away from saying drag racing. The ultimate goal is to get a race on. And if you're trying to bet more than you can,
yeah.
If you're betting more than you, not so much you can bet, but then betting more than the man that you're trying to run can bet,
and you can't get the race off, what good have you done yourself or anyone is with you?
Your crew didn't make any money or lose any. You didn't make any money or lose any. Other than what the money you spent to come to the track.
Now you have guys on the shows all the time. Like I said, I frequent all the shows. I hear guys on the shows all the time crying about, I spent $500. I spent $1,000 just to get here. I heard Wick say a few months ago he had spent, in essence, of quite a bit of money with his crew to come to a race. Now, if he's got a chance to run for, say, $1,000, and you can get you a nice little bit of side bets on, why not do that? I want to see what my callers have to say about that. I think it would just be a lot more easier if we just brought the price back down to earth. Because right now they're on cloud 99. Bring them back down there where a little man can win, or where a little man can at least race. I mean, this way you have more racing going on. No, in my day, one race a week was only because the weather didn't permit. The only way you had one race a week. But if the weather permitted, you were definitely going to have more than one race per day. So to wait for an event like today, the 6th from Big Sham and Brother Leroy is having an event. No, to wait for that event, that specific day, and then you go to the track and you can't race because the man don't have the money that you want to bet. Someone hit the one button and let me know what they think about that. I just feel myself personally, my producer and I was talking about it, and we, you know, we both came to the same conclusion, that we bring them down $1,000 or less for the pot. And like I said earlier, man, I know some guys that can bet more, but bring it down, bring your pot down to at least get the race off. Get away from raising tire sizes and compartments of the car and bring the bet down, because that's really what it adds up to. It adds up, did I win or lose? I don't think, in my case, I know I don't think it's the money per se as is the bragging rights. You know, I want to run BET. I'm not concerned with, of course, I beat BET out of no money. I'm concerned with that I beat it. That's the thing I want to do. I want to have bragging rights on it. If so happens I did win some money in the process, that's just icing on the cake. So anyone out there with their hands up, what you want, but let me hear what you think about them. Give me something to go on other than what I'm, you know, I'm not that smart a guy. So I done about thunk out on it. So when I do a little thinking and I come up with something, I need a little help. So now I'm asking all my Rays fans out there to give me a hand and let me see what they think about it. Like I said, it was so hot last night, I think we want to just continue with the night. So I'm going to ask my guy if he got any hands up. Open up a mic or two. Let me hear what they say here. If anyone there, open the mics up. Man, this spaghetti is sure enough good. How many of you guys out there wish y'all had a plate? Anyone on the side of my floor, I know you wish you had a plate. Because this here is what the opening so you put your foot in it. This is right here.
Hello? I got money.
Talk to me.
I think
what's going on?
What's going on, man? What's happening with you?
Not much, man. How you feel today? You?
Man, we out here as my partner was saying, hanging out with both hands.
No, I heard that, brother. I heard that. I was just listening to what you was talking about the topic for tonight. And I feel, like I said, you know, last night, and I'm always saying, until people get themselves together as far as this racing, girls racing community, with all this big money and betting, trying to overbet somebody, and they really don't want to race nobody, you know. So if you got, me personally, a good, decent bet nowadays, I think for a good, decent race, I think it's $1,000 to $1,500, $1,200, $1,300. That's good racing, man. $500, $800, that's good racing.
Let me say this in their defense now. I brought it up. It's always a hidden agenda with me. I must say, I always have something I try to hide. And now that you said that, I'm going to say this. What do you say to a guy like, say, a Wick, say, a Tony Bynes, that's got a big crew with them. Do you think it's fair to them to ask them to bet, say, 500, 1,000 in a pot?
Well, I was looking at YouTube earlier, and they was him and they was somewhere. I think they was in Holly Springs, and they was talking to Mr. Dog, and they went back and forth about how much they was gonna run for. So Dog told him, "We gonna run for 1,500." So Tony Bass told him, "Say, I ain't got no 1,500, but I got $1,000."
Okay.
So he was trying to. The fact of the matter was, I think one was trying to race and the other one wasn't. You know, it wasn't no. I don't think it was no disrespect to the other guy because they thorough guys in this girls community, and I just feel, you know, a lot of guys with these big cars and stuff like that. They shouldn't run for no little money, no $500. No. I don't think that to that extent. They should be running their car up and down the track, testing, tuning. And I feel like, you know, if you testing and tuning for free, why you can't run for at least $1,000, you know, so. And I know the parts on those cars cost a lot of money too, man, you know.
You just said a magic word there. You made a magical statement there when you say you're running the cars up and down the track testing for free. So when you're testing for free, and you're going to test these cars, you have to, because you don't know what you're doing or what your car is doing as performance-wise if you don't. So now we know we're going to test them. So
exactly.
If I'm at the track and I'm willing to test my car, make 3 hits on it or 4 hits, however many I got to do in order to get what I'm trying to get, tune-wise, chassis-wise, whatever I'm working on here, what's the problem in running for $500, $1,000? Now, I asked that question. I said, is it fair to say a Tony Bynes or a Wick? Because they have a big crew. That's why I bring them up. You know, Drag was like, Drag had a big crew. But now that you said that, I'm going to ask this now. Is there anything wrong, like I said earlier, with them guys getting side bets on? You know, what's wrong with telling your crew before we leave home, listen, man, money ain't what it used to be. We're not going to be able to get that $3,500, $5,000 bet on. Let's take what they got and try to get us some side bets. We'll hold the raise up until we get some side bets locked in. Excuse me.
Right.
So once we get enough side bets locked in, then let's raise. What do you think is wrong with that? Do you think that'll go?
Hey, D. Hey, baby boy. D, what's up? I'm in the house. I'm in the building. I'm on the liner listening in. Clock's off. Family, what's going down? Now, I want to be the one to answer that question right there. Baby
Come
boy.
On with it.
Baby boy.
Go ahead, Cadillac.
Man, talk to me, baby boy. Man, you all right? I just want to pick you. Sound like you got some sense on your mind. I think this really baby boy is his, what you call.
This is pet peeve. This is pet peeve.
He's trying to be real cordial with it tonight, but
yeah.
I'm going to take his cordial Elaine tonight. But,
he did too.
I'm going to come to the forefront with it. Really, you know, it's up to the crew. When you're testing your car, everybody has to be on one accord. You know, if I go out there, I test that car, you know I'm going to put it to the metal, good or bad. Because, you know, it's a stiff in there. Hey, I might be running Joe Blow over there. And Joe might have something. I don't want him to know I got for him, so I really lock it in. Now, do you go out and be full out with it? Now, you both up there. What do you do? Do you go down there with, or do you let him go on a solo by himself? Baby boy, if I'm going down the track, be going down the track. And I got some. You got something against D, and D got something against you because y'all want to get the pot on. How do you handle that? Do you let one go before the other? Do you go down there one at a time? Or do you just say, what the heck, we're going to put it all in the pot and shoot down there? Which one do you do?
See, that's why I asked the question, because like I said earlier, man, them guys, I was sitting there trying to feed my face, them guys got big crews behind them.
That's right.
I can remember when race was good for us here. Drag, my long lost buddy there, you know, like he said last night, you know, him and I have been friends in this racing game, man. We grew up together in the thing. And he, too. Drag had an entourage he had to, you know, take care of with him there.
Right.
Could he have afforded to race for say, 1,000 or less? Cole Killer, here's another guy. You know, he's got a nice little following behind him. And everybody in the racing world know that no killer. When he comes to racing, his number is like 5.
He cares about getting his check. Right.
But see, yeah, but the question is, can you pick up racing? Would you increase racing, rather, if you went about it a different way? And the different way of getting that check would be to bring the pot back down to reality.
But the twist of the pot was, if you got two cats that they want to run one another, they happen to get up there at the same time, they test. They ain't thought about racing one another, but they up there testing. Now, when you maybe made a valid point, when you going down the track and you testing your car, you're running really for free. Only one is costing is you, because you put the fuel in the car.
Right.
You have to pay for your fuel now. Nothing in drag racing in this world is for free.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me rephrase that. If drag was at the track and I was at the track with my car, if drag and I come up in a stage lane together, we're going to race each other, but I don't have, but say, 1,700. But drag want to run for 35. Do you think drag will call that $1,700 bet, saying that we are in the staging lane next to each other? He wouldn't take that. What do you think?
Well,
I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I don't think I'm gonna break this limb. I think I'm gonna be able to hang on. I think he would take that bet.
I would say by him knowing you. By you being in the, you guys know one another. You're friends. But when you get in the beams, you don't have no friends. But you got different crews. Everybody can take that to the sideline. Because if you and him get in the line, man, I got 1,400. Man, that's all you get. Man, I'm taking that. Get down. Now, the crew can't get on to that part because that's between you and him. Okay. Okay, but you got, that's what I'm going directly to. You got sad bets. So that's what I'm saying. The crews have to, like, man, I got 100 on drag, or I got 500 on deep, so forth, so on. They have to worry about getting their sad bets on that way. Okay, but the key is you both engaged.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It's not about how much, it's the bragging right. It was back in the day, D. I'm going to tell you something. My buddy Jimmy Hayes, he had a 78, what was that, a Cougar. Well, 78, 79 Cougar, man. The car didn't have no flowboat in there like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble, man. We went out to Doty Road, bro. The car didn't have no brakes. It had back brakes. Me being an entrepreneur, me don't care. Me just wild and just want to have fun, just wanted to race. And I think there's a lot of guys out there that hear my voice can kind of relate with this. Some of us have done outrageous things. We've caught up in the moment. I took now, at that time, we had between the two of us, you know how much money we had?
That was...
We had $14. We had $14. We ran that $14 that night into $280. You know how we did that? Because we found somebody who wanted to race us, and they was just crazy as us, and they wanted to race. You know how I beat them? I came with an edge. I knew how to, I watched other folks. Like this guy named Jack, he used to open up the door and leave on you. Now, that's
right.
Street racing there.
That was street racing.
And if when two cars leave the starting line, it's a what? It's a race. So I used to get guys like that. It would be not tricking but tricking. Hey, if you follow me, that ain't on me. That's on you. I can lay there and jump and do all I want to, but if I get you to follow me, it's a race. But the saying is, no matter how much you bet, it's still a bet if it's $2. If you got two cars in game, it should be a race. But now you got stiffs on racing, drag racing. Everybody want to try to bet that that other part of the dollar. Sometimes they try to work it so they outbet that person so that person won't get up to the line. Because they figure if they weigh more, that person won't engage.
See, that's why I asked the question earlier where I stated that if a guy has $500, $700, $1,000, that's all the man has, and you want to race him. Now, if you notice, I said, do you think drag would take that part? I see his number here, so I'm going to see if I can get his mic open. I'm going to see what he said. I'm going to see, ask him. I said, right now they got him in the prior room, so he can't hit me. But I said, I think he would take that $1,400 if he had $1,400 or $700, considering that he's about to make a pass on the car anyway. If I think I can beat you, I think he would take it. I want to see if we get him out of the prior room and bring him on. I want to see what he say. Would he take that bet? And will he tell you, no, I got a bet $3,000 or better? And at the same time, any guys out there, man, that's from the South, I know we got a few of you guys that call in. I see your numbers, you know, the one. But, hey, man, chime in. You know, like I tell you guys all the time, there's another girl taking the clock off. This clock off and gather good. Hey, I mean, if you have something to say or you think you want to say something on topic, if it wasn't better than you see a couple at some point in time, we're going to be trying to whoop you. So let us see what you think. But right now, I'm going to bring my big buddy in. I want to see what he thinks on that. Yeah, you know. Great. Got the mic open. I see his mic is open here.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, who I got here?
What's going on?
This Rob.
Hey, what's up,
Rob?
How you guys doing?
Another night, man. Another night. How about yourself?
I want y'all's opinion on something I've been thinking about, man. It's been chewing at me for a minute.
Come on.
And maybe y'all could tell me if this man wanted to race or he just wanted to lock up money. I had a race to be, in the stage lane at a certain time. You know, something happened. I couldn't be there at that time. So I had to pay the lockup money because I wasn't there at that time. But I got there about an hour later. So
okay.
I'm thinking, okay, you know, I paid what I paid. We gonna still race. So when I get there, thinking, you know, okay, you got your money. Now let's go on here, relock in a race. The person said, okay, well, we're gonna do it. Give me some time. You know, they taking test pass after test pass after test pass after test pass. You know, test pass after test pass. And then I make my shakedown. Then the man tells me, no, I don't want none of that. Now, what you think about that?
So he took the lockup and really ran.
Yeah. Now, the man locked me up and said, we're going to race at 3 o'clock. Come to find out, you can't even go down the track until 4 o'clock. But, you know, I wasn't there in the stage lane at 3, so being a man of my word, I went on ahead and paid it up, paid the lockup money because I wasn't there at 3 for whatever reason. I get there. You know, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to get my money back, you know.
Huh.
Or he's going to get his. He's going to make more money off me.
Right. But you can't engage.
Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to race because I'm here.
Right.
Man. He seen a shakedown, didn't want to do nothing. And, it's kind of upsetting because, well, let's say if I'd have made it on time, would you have paid off the punk out money, or would you have raced me?
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Now that made me. It got me to a point where I'm not locking in no more races.
Right,
either you're
right.
gonna take my word that I'm gonna be there, or you're not.
Right. Well, that's what I was about to say. I'm gonna say this here about lockup. You know, I personally always had a discrepancy. I always had a different outlook. I think that's better word for you saying out. You know, that means I don't like it. I disagree with it. When we were street racing, we locked up money. The lockup was just to assure that we raced. Man,
right.
It takes place the next day, the next week. That's that. When you share it with your car, the lockup money went two ways. It either went in the pot or it went back to you. That's all the lockup was for. Now, I have another art with the lockup that I guess I always will have it because I don't like this. It's just sick about being in the lane at a certain time.
Right.
When, now, someone explain this to me, because I'm not the most knowledgeable guy in the world, you know. I want someone to explain this to me. When you tell me I got to be in the lane at 8 o'clock, are you telling me I got to be at the tree or I got to be in the stage lane?
Right.
Because here's what I'm saying. That was a young man that had a race locked in. They told me he had to be in the staging lane at a certain time. His car was not ready. So what he did, he walked over and got in the staging lane. And he stated that you told me I had to be in the staging lane.
Right.
So I'm asking, are they saying that the car itself has to be in the staging lane? Do it have to be at the tree? Someone enlighten me on that. I'm not the most knowledgeable guy on that.
Well, you got me because that was my first and my last ever lock-in.
Mm-hmm.
You got me on that one because that was my last one. You know, because, you know, I never understood. It didn't make sense to me on a lock-up, and it still don't make sense to me. I just thought I would try something for the first time. How I look at it is if two people are going to the same place, why am I locking you in?
Well, like I said earlier, the lockup, the originality of the lockup is to make sure that D is coming to the track and bring this car to race. That was the risk. We said Monday night that we're going to meet up at the Grove Wednesday night. The lockup is to make sure that we meet up there. The lockup was never meant to be paid out because your car broke and you couldn't race. That was never the understanding, never the intention of lockup. Never, ever. And I've been in this game a long time, and I can honestly tell you, I know this for a fact. This is not nothing I'm guessing at. I can stand on that 100%. The lockup was never, never intended to be paid off just because you were not there at 8 o'clock or not in the staging lane at 9 or your car cooler drive share. That was not what the lockup was for. Lockup was to ensure that you showed up. You know, OSHA shop, and it's been time where you would get to OSHA shop at 6 o'clock and you'd wait for 10 for another car to get there. He'd be in the garage working trying to get there. The lockup was to make sure that you got there, that you got to the course and you tried to engage. Like I said earlier, when both cars got a meeting place, lots of money either went back to the person that put it up, or we just put it in the pot. You know, sometimes we would say, hey, this $200 already up in the way, so we're going to make it $2,200.
Well, they didn't change that up because now guys are looking for free money. And believe it or not, some of these guys everybody believe are true grudge racers will engage. They want that free money. Me,
yeah.
I'm cut from another cloth. I've been around grudge racing, but I'm more of a class racer than grudge racer. And the only reason why I'm more of a class racer than a grudge racer is because class racing, you're going to race. You ain't got to go all through the bull crap. You're going to get out there. It don't matter if he's the baddest man in the world. You got to race him.
That's right.
And y'all, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no talking. At the end of the race, whether he win or I win, we giving each other thumbs up, and we keep on going about our business. That's what I'm in when I class race. Grudge racing,
well,
I done tried to grudge race darn near everybody out there. I started taking some stupid bets against chassis cars just to see if somebody's going to race.
and got no action.
No action. None. And the man that I locked in didn't want no action. And that's what's sad. Then turn around, get on the talk, and then they talk about, I won by default. How did you win when you didn't even race? How you call that a win? You wouldn't run.
Once again, we're kind of deviating away from the show, but I must agree with you. I don't count paying off a parker, as they call it, a win. I can only count a win when eight tires head in the same direction. That's the only time I can count a win. I hear guys all the time saying, I got paid, that's a win. You know, I always was raised, bred, cut teeth on the fact of you won a race. Not that you were able to take advantage of the situation. You know, and that's all paying the park idea, really. Paying the park idea is just simply allowing me, whoever the case might be, to take advantage of an unset situation with another man.
Yep.
What I mean by that is that he had a problem somewhere along the way, and I could use that to my advantage.
Well, you know? I'm not doing another lockup. If you can't take my word for it, then it is what it is.
Yep.
That's how I look at it. And if you want to race, when we both there at the track and I come to you, you didn't want to race anyway, and that's one of the reasons why I don't lock in. So I just want to put it out there. And then the man, I get on the show with the man, and the man talking about, okay, now I'm going to blow at you. I'm going to give you what you gave me. But what about our original race?
What you saying about the original race, it never really taken place. Man.
Right, it never took place because he bagged out when he seen my little shakedown. He got the money, bagged out of the race after he got the money, and then I got on a show and say, well, what's up with that? And then he talked about, okay, now I'm going to blow at you. Well, you can blow at me, but what about our original race?
Yeah.
I don't care you spray. What about the original?
Drag racing is so complicated. You have to have an encyclopedia to go drag racing. And it ain't number just a sport. You gotta have an encyclopedia. They didn't put the game up so bad.
Who is Valer?
You know it's me. I've been sitting back listening to y'all, man. Sometimes it's good to sit back and listen to your show. You know what y'all talk about, man? It makes a whole lot of sense to me because of the simple fact that doing it. Well, since this lockout money didn't come into the game, I feel like it's a black eye. I always have felt like it was a black eye, but I kept my opinion to myself. But since the discussion is going on, I want to say this. During the period of time that we raced, we locked that money up. If a guy didn't race, he lost. Or you can make an agreement and he get half of the pot for his time and so forth and so on. Let me explain something to y'all, man. For y'all to turn around and drive, listen to this. You're driving 800 miles. You're driving 1,000 miles or so far and so on. When you get down there to the thing and somebody see you pass and they shake them up, who don't care about getting you $200 lockup money? Who don't care about getting you $500 lockup money? They want to save the bar. You understand what I'm saying? I just think this is just a black eye. That's my own personal opinion.
You know, Drake, the last night, Drake said, "Say, bro, you know." But see, now I'm gonna say this in the lockup defense, and I'm like you, I'm not really fair, but I know when we locked up money, it was to ensure a race, not to steal something. But racing has evolved because now we are racing like we basically racing like the NHRA circuit, really. You know, we're just on a lower level, but. We're traveling from state to state with this grudge race thing. So if drag like myself or Larry or anyone under the sound of my voice here, if they take and go from here to Memphis to race, to get from here to Memphis, you just spend a nice little grip in fuel and food. And now you get there and the guy decides that he's not going to race. He got to pay the two out of park out. Oh, he's not going to race. One of the ways I think that would stop that, and it's just I want you guys out there, once again, man, if you're out there, hit the run button, give me your opinion on it. My opinion, just because this is the D and Larry show, that doesn't mean my opinion is the only one that counts. That just means just what it says. That's my opinion. And everyone just has one, just like a booty hole. Everyone has one. So that's all I want you guys to say. That is just my opinion. That's what I think. I'm not always right. I'm just never wrong. But now, with, the, with that being said, here's something to look at, though. Here's a man that traveled to Memphis, and I know Memphis is 546 miles from my front door as I went. Now, he done spent another 500 in fuel to get to him. I just think this would be a way to do it. If I'm going to run you for, say, 2,000, let's lock up the 2,000. That's what we run for anyway. So if we lock up the 2,000 and you get there and for, say, you see a shakedown that you didn't like, you got two things. I heard Tony Bynes said the other day, he told Dog, I believe it was, he was talking to him, he said he didn't like the race. He didn't think he could win. He really didn't. He said, but I got to do the tree now. Only hope is to beat him on the tree. And he drug him off the tree. Else he had to pay that lockup out. Now, what am I saying? If you lock up that 2,000, that means you got to race that 2,000, or you going to give me $2,000 for spending $500. Them good numbers to me if I get at it easy. But if I get out and go and race for it, we already know anything might happen. But what do you guys think about that? Do you think the whole pot should be locked up? That's what I'm getting at. Do you guys think the whole pot should be locked up, especially when I'm traveling from one state to another? If you're local, when you're local here, and you're going to the Grove, the 41, or not too many going to 66, because 66 is going to create a mess if you're doing. But let's just say we're going to the Grove, going to Rockford, to 41. And these are local tracks here. So quite naturally, it ain't going to cost you as much to get there as it would to say to get to Texas or Memphis or Arkansas or somewhere like Georgia like that. So I could much easier see you saying we're going to lock you in 200 or 2,000 or more. But if you're traveling across that Mason-Dixon line, they say, what's wrong with locking the whole body in? I think that'll be way more easy to assure that a race take place, more so than man. So listen, man, I don't like what I just seen. I'm going to give you this 200 and let you go on my business.
Hey, Mr. D. How you doing tonight, Mr. D, Uncle Larry? What's going on, Kevin, behind the scenes?
How's it going, Mr. Dunn?
All right. Can I comment on I don't want to interrupt your show, but can I?
No.
I pressed the one button and my mic was open. Can I comment on that?
Yeah, come on in and give your opinion.
All right. I want to say that there's a bunch of mitigating factors in that equation. And this is my opinion, like Mr. D said. This is just what I think. I've been told I'm not a racer and I've never raced a car, so I can just go someplace and sit down. But I don't think that's true either. I don't care nothing about that because at the end of the day, I have great thought processes, and I think I can ascertain and make sense out of what I see. But with that being said,
hold yourself 1 second. There's no man here. Now, I stand to be corrected. I don't recall ever, and it's possible he did as a kid, but I don't recall ever seeing Austin Cora racing car.
You said who's race car?
I've never seen Austin Cora race a car. I know John Forrest gave him $1 million to come and be his chief, but I haven't ever seen him race himself, let's say just racing a car.
Well,
so
you know what?
You don't have to race to be knowledgeable in drag racing. You don't have to own a car to be. I'm not racing right now myself. I mean, my car back in the garage, but I'm not racing. You know, I've been cracked on about being a radio show host and not being out here racing, but hey, one thing about it. It do not stop you from being knowledgeable in the field that you love. And you're only in this drag racing field because you love it. You're not in it because you're making money. Because no one on this mic can say that you're making money. It's what we love to do. So now, go ahead.
Well, you're dead right. And for the record, I am a part of a racing team. And, you know, I'm investing in a car. And I'll probably have my own car outside of partners. But anyway, Mr. D, getting back to what you were saying, I think that first of all, a lot of this stuff happened from the down south racers. It's not even the down south racers. What you guys are talking about is something that Tony Bonds started specifically. You know what I mean? And Tony Bonds started that being in staging lanes by this time where, you forfeit the lockup money and stuff like that. And that was a good idea for down south. That worked for Tony Bonds. That worked for what the racers were doing down south because there were cars that would go to the track and the people wouldn't race. They would wait all night knowing the track was going to close at 11. They want to try to get in. They want to come to the staging lanes at 10:30. You know what I mean? The track is going to close. And it's as simple as that. So that's why that was started. We're going to go ahead and get these races off. But it sounded good to other people. And they picked up those bad habits. And I'm not going to say it was a bad habit for Tony because it was working for what he was doing. And then they flipped the script with it. And then it took for the people that didn't want to race or wanted an easy paycheck, it took on a mind of its own. And it took on a way of saying, well, I'm going to trick this man out of his money instead of actually racing him. The flip side of that, in my opinion, is I don't think it's a bad idea that if two men travel and you're crossing that Mason-Dixon line, as you said, lock up the whole pot. I've been saying that for the last 2 years. But, once again, I'm not a racer, so they said, well, you've never raced for any money, so you don't know how it feels to go out and, break your car and then have to pay up the whole purse without even having a race. I said, that's not what I said. You can always stip the race if you break. If you break, it can be stipped in there. If I break, then, I'll pay X amount of dollars or whatever. But, the whole pot should be locked up. But on the flip side to that is, how did you know if a car is legitimately broke? You know what I mean? Or do we go to a tech guy and, have the tech people look the car over, pull the intake off, this, that, and the third, look down over in there? A set of lips can say anything. There's so much trickery in this. It's not funny. For the gentleman that said the guy didn't want to race and he went out there and he made a shakedown and then he said, I didn't want none of that. Man, I would me myself personally love to know who that was. You know what I mean? If you don't want to see it on the radio.
Biz. B-I-Z.
Biz. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you like this, too. One thing in grudge racing that I see also is that if we see somebody doing something and it's not right, why are we so tight-lipped about it? You know what I mean? As we stay tight-lipped about it, you know what I mean? Now, you don't have to come on the show and call a motherfucker and low-down, dirty son of a bitch and stuff like that. But you can definitely talk about it. Because as we keep our mouths tight-lipped, and if say, well, I don't want to be dirty or underhanded, what you're doing is actually hurting what we love. You know what I mean? And, it's not to discredit Biz or anything like that at all, but for any racer, as a racer's name gets out there as being not credible and not reliable, his word quickly turns to shit in our small community of grudge racing. So the next time he comes up to the line and tries to get a grudge race, him or whoever, they're not going to be so willing and ready to turn that money over. You know what I mean? That there'll be some rules and some steps put in if they even take the race from the person. So, that's my point on that. Kevin made a good point behind the scenes. Kevin, can you come in and join the conversation for a second?
Kevin probably trying to get somebody else in right now.
Okay, well, let me say one thing.
I want to know one thing. Where can I get a copy of this good stuff I'm hearing? Can I go online and tape it?
I know who this is. Hey, what's happening to 12 Hood?
I want
what's
y'all to keep preaching, brother. That's some good stuff you just laid down there. Because I've always had a problem with lock-ins that are 100 on 10,000. That it just makes me mad hearing when people be like, well, give me 200 on, we going to lock in 200 on 5,000. You know, that tells me when I'm listening to them lockups that lockup will be paid. What I don't understand is,
I
can pay that 200 for them, shit, and I ain't got no money. But
what
I can handle that.
What I don't understand is, how do you call it a win if a person paid a lockup and then you still don't turn around and don't race that guy, period?
It's not
call
a win.
It a win.
It's not a win. You just made money. But they consider
They want to classify it as a win. And another thing I wanted to make a parable of, and I'm going to tell you all this because I sat back and I saw this with my own eyes. I seen Chad and Teo drive all the way from California, to down in Mississippi, and they were supposed to race Tony Bynes. Tony Bynes told him that he had to get with him another time. He's going to race somebody else. And then he went and paid the Punk out money and went and raced the other person. But they drove all the way to California. So my thing with it is, I just think that that Punk out money is not, in my opinion,
that's rough business
for the game,
right,
because
there.
That's a long ways to drive from California to Mississippi.
Man.
It's a long way.
See, bro, that's why I stated earlier, and my brother there was just saying the same thing, basically. That's why I said it's nothing wrong with locking in 200, I'll say 2,000, if I'm going to run drag, I'm going to run Larry, because we're right here together. But if I got to go across the line to another state, I think we should lock the whole party in. That changes.
That's right. I agree with you. And if they don't race, they pay half of the money. If they don't race, they pay half of the lockup, you know, right. In my opinion, because of the simple fact that it's all about drag racing. And it's being too manipulative to me because of the simple fact that it's a way out. If I tell you that I'm going to lock 200 in on 5,000, that gives me a way out if it's something I don't like or if it's something that I see that I don't like. You know what I'm saying? What do I care about? You think I'd rather give you the 5,000 or you think I'd rather give you the 200?
My personal opinion on that is if you're coming from California to Mississippi, it's not about the money anyway. You came for the action because you spent more than $5,000 to get there. That the person who locks something like that, it should be obligated to race them and not even be able to pay the whole pot. Because if you go from Cali to Mississippi with the car, you ain't even racing for the money. You racing because it's your sport, you love it, and the notoriety. It's not about the money at that point because you probably have to cover their expenses. You'd have to have a $10,000 race.
You know about Detroit. We got a young man here in the wings here. He's been, I know, from state-to-state racing. I use him quite a lot as a guinea pig tester because he's my personal brother friend. You know, we're more brother than we are friends. And that's a big drag himself. I know for a fact this man and crossed the state line many times racing. Let's ask him. Let me see what he think about that, locking in 200 on 2,000. If he crossed that line, should we lock in the whole pot on 2,000? And I also want to comment on if a man has, say, 1,500, 1,700, and you was trying to run him for 35, but you two come up into the stage and ain't together, what you going to run with me? Drag, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, D. What's going on, fellas? What's happening, everybody?
What's up, Drag?
How you doing? Oh, what's going on, Drag?
Right.
Everything good. Everything good, Joe.
Let us hear what you think, Rick, about that crossing the state line, for one. We got two things going here. One, like I just was telling them, I know for a fact that you have been in a many different states racing. And we want to hear what you think about that, locking in 200 on 2,000, or should we lock in the whole pot when we cross that line? Is it a sure a race, or would it eliminate the bar?
The Punk out is 6-8, you know. The Punk out money is saving the bar. You know, you lose part of it, but you don't lose the whole bet. So the same thing is 6-8. Far as the traveling long distance, like I was just listening to Larry and them say about how far a tail and them came, you know, that's a totally different thing, you know. And I totally agree with Hood about them dudes racing, it's bigger than the money because the amount that they were running for wouldn't even barely cover, you know, their travel expenses, you know, and not to mention the time it takes for them to get there, you know, the wear and tear on equipment running in and out of state with, you know, truck, trailer, you know, tires, oil change, whatever, what have you. Then, you know, you have things that, you know, that just fail, you know, get fatigued and old. And sometimes you're traveling that far, you're going to have to fix something, if nothing but a blowout or an axle bearing or, you know, things of that nature. So I think that when you're locking in to run somebody, you know, especially as far as Chad and Tayo and them travel, you need to have you something definitely locked in. For an amount, if something happens, it can at least compensate or offset, you know, what it is that you had to spend.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, as far as being in the staging lanes, and you got a, you know, you got a bet for, you say $3,500, but the other person ain't got but $1,700. Man, you finna go down. You finna go down the track anyway. What? Get the $1,700. You know, just get that. You know, I've done that many times. You know, we agreed upon to run for a certain amount, and the person didn't have the amount that we agreed upon, and we ended up running for something different. You know, back in my really, really, you know, heyday in street racing, the grudge racing, you know, we was able to bet whatever it is the Joker wanted to bet. You know, basically we would allow them to say what it was they wanted to run for, and then we would call it. And the majority of times, there ain't no majority of times, there ain't been no time that nobody could outbid us when we was, you know, when we was really doing this stuff. You know, I had a team of guys and we had, you know, money from everywhere. We could afford to bet whatever.
Drag, can I ask you a question, Drag? Drag, what about in the instances? First of all, Drag, how you doing? That's first off.
Man, I ain't talking to you. You ain't send me my T-shirt, man.
You know what, Drag? Check this out. Check this out, Drag. I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody. Hold on. Let me get on my soapbox for a hot second. Then I got to ask Drag a question. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very good show tonight, in my opinion. Clocks Off was designed to do something specifically. Clocks Off was designed and brought in the inception to do something for the racer and the fan both at the same time. My extended stay will start September 1st or September 2nd in Chicago. I should be up there through November, and I will definitely be a permanent fixture in Chicago like I said I was going to be much more often now. We're getting ready to go to phase two or whatever you want to call it. But and Drag, I'm going to tell you this. When I get there, Drag, you will have my full support because I'll be close enough to you so we can sit down, bump heads, and you can lay your hands on me and I can lay my hands on you. And once again, you have my full support. I've been telling you that for years, but I've learned to try to back out and not obligate myself and put more on my plate than I can eat. So once again, September, I will be doing whatever Gunner Picks can do through Clocks Off to put the Midwest on the map. But, Drag, let me ask you this question. What about the instances where somebody wants to, they agreed to run on 3,500, right? They're down in the pits and the argument is going back and forth. And he say, well, I'll blow your ass out for 3,500. Okay. One of the racers says, okay, 3,500 it is. Let's go to the line. They get to the line and it changes. Nah, I ain't got 3,500 no more. I'll tell you what I will do. I'll run you for 1,000. And the reason why he said that is because he's trying to get a bead on his time. This is a car that nobody knows anything about. This is a car that hasn't been
tracked. Can I interrupt you for a second, Gunnett?
Sure.
He could be saying that because it's going to throw the driver off and everybody else, and he'll have an advantage trying some slick, crazy stuff like that.
Oh, I can't hear you. There's a lot of background noise. All of a sudden. Say that again?
Yeah.
Somebody got
some background. Yeah,
somebody got
some background. Anyone that's got a mic over, brothers, is not talking, you got background noise. Please mute your mic. We don't mute mics on this show. We ask you to do it as a respect from brother to brother. Please mute your mic if you're not talking. And your mic and your line are definitely open. I'm going to come back in.
Hello? Go ahead. Say that again. I didn't hear you. What were you saying?
That could be all type of gamesmanship, but when certain stuff in that instances happens, I don't like it.
But you see, the reason why I say this is because I've seen an instance multiple times, right, where you got a dude, he's being the sacrificial lamb for the camp. They don't know what a particular car can do because nobody tunes on the car other than this one person. The car hasn't been down a favorite track where the time can get out. You understand what I'm saying? So I have literally seen a sacrificial lamb walk out of a camp and say, okay, I'm not going to run you for $3,500 like we agreed on. I'm going to run you for $1,000. You know what I mean? And they all get together and come up with $1,000. They all get together and come up with $1,000 so they can get a bead on that man's palm.
I've seen that before, too, firsthand.
So,
but you know,
so, so,
got it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, finish. No. I got a comment on that.
No, I'm asking you. That question was posed directly to you. How do you? What do you do in that situation? Because the fans don't know what's going on. All they see is that, you know, all of a sudden they agreed to raise this guy didn't have $3,500, so why won't he raise for $1,000? Isn't $1,000 a lot of money? He's going down the track anyway. That's what the fans see.
Well, me as a racer and an X3 racer, I will get that money. You know what I'm saying? Probably talk about, you know, the amount after the race is over with. But let me give you an instance about how that can go bad for you. 2 years ago, I drove Three Lux car and raced Tate, and the race was supposed to be for $6,500. We had $6,500. We were trying to run for that. That was pretty much the agreement. But Tate that said that he didn't have $6,500. Let them let us see what they had. They say, okay, we was in the staging lane. We get in the staging lane. Tate had 4,300, I think it was, 4,300. Well, guess what? Tate beat us. He beat us for the $4,300. Shoot, after the race was over, I was glad he didn't run for the damn 65. you see what I'm saying?
But you see, drag. That's an anomaly. No, that's not even an anomaly. That's what's supposed to happen. That's where you have two people that want to race. He wasn't trying to get you mm-hmm. Tom. He wasn't going out there to be no sacrificial lamb.
But that's two straight up racers too with that was no gamesmanship. They were doing what they were supposed to do. But that doesn't mm-hmm. always happen like yeah. that.
Hold your thought for a second. I got a mic here. I hate to interrupt you guys. You guys are going so good, I wanna keep it going, but I got a mic here. His hand keep going up and going down. We'll see if he's coming in. You got a call out of, I believe you're out of California. Like, I think it's called Shay, because you on, man. If your mic is, if your mic is.
Yeah, I'm listening, brothers. How's everybody doing?
Oh, all right. What's
going on, John?
We good. On that lockup there, or are you just listening?
I can't hear you.
You want to give us, you have any thoughts on that lockup money? As crossing the state line, one of the guys that said earlier that came out of California, you came all the way south to run a race, and the guy said he wasn't going to run you. What do you think about that? Do you think you should lock your whole pot up if you cross that state line, or do you think we should continue to get away?
It's not the pot, but a great majority of it, because that is considered a long-distance race. And for them guys to come that far, that long of a distance, they deserve something, man. You know, I got a picture on my phone where Chad did his little, he did a shakedown. Man, the car went 11 o'clock in the air. And when all them guys seen that, that's what backed them out of that race.
Now, if I may ask, what was the pot for that race?
I don't remember how much it was. But
you know,
I think after they seen Chad do that shakedown, when the car went straight up in there, they ain't want no parts of it.
Okay, do you remember the lockup amount?
No, I don't, but I can find out.
You know what? I think it was for a small amount of money too. I think it was something like $5,000. I don't know what the lockup was, but I think that race was like $5,000, if I'm not mistaken.
I was there. I seen exactly what the brother talking about, Chad Carwilly. Actually, and tore up some stuff, broke the rack and pinion and stuff on his car. I was right there when Chad did that. He was in Lincoln, Mississippi. Tony, I don't think that Tony did not run because he seen Chad wheelie. It was something that went on with that. I don't remember exactly because that was like a couple years ago, but. They did not, you know, long story, you know, short, was that they didn't run. And I think Chad got the lockup money. I think he was supposed to run Red Robin Hood or something, the little pickup truck or something.
The red truck.
Yeah. I think he was supposed to run that truck. And something had happened. I don't think that the wheelie affected them, made them the choice of not running. I may have been other people that watched them do that, you know, that would have ran them, decided that they wouldn't run them. But Tony, I don't think that would have scared Tony off. That's just my opinion, you know.
So don't you think we should have, when somebody come that long of a distance, we should have a special, the pot should be special.
I agree totally on what you said when you first got on the radio about this. You got a way larger, substantial amount just because of the travel. Definitely.
Exactly.
You know, definitely.
And yeah, I like that too. And I tell you what, gentlemen, let me bring up one more point, if you would. I'm outside because I got background noise in my house and mosquitoes tearing my butt up. But Mr. D, when the show first came on, I think I missed some stuff. Kevin was filling me in, and he was saying that if a guy's in Chicago and a guy's in Michigan, right? Why do they have to run one race for $3,000 when they can just take $1,000 and then they can run three different races, and that way it would be more racing for the fans.
So what we were saying with that, we was asking the question, and that was one way we put it. We put it out two or three different ways. We were saying, like you just said, take 10 and lock in three different races, or else why don't we just bring the pot back down to reality and get them out of the clouds? Because Johnny might have 10,000, and he wants to run me. Well, I can only come up with 3,000, so we can't get our race on. Is it, the question was asked, that is it truly the money stopping the race, or is it fear? That's really what I was getting at.
It's the ego that get involved in the racing. You know, they have the mentality, not only do they want to race them and beat them, they want to humiliate them. You know, and that's how they use that.
I like that too, Drag. I tell you, Drag, I like to go to a race to see a man lose his money because I'm looking to see how bad it hurt. I'm looking dead in his face to see if it hurt him.
That's what it's all about. So they can talk about how broke he is and he ain't got this and he ain't got that, and it leads from that to about their families and all that old nonsense. You know, if you keep it racing and win, lose, or draw, you know what I'm saying, you're okay with it, then it would be better. A lot of these guys, you've heard me say this on these talk shows before, they bet money that they cannot afford to lose. So they lose that money. Now here comes the humbug, or here comes the technicality, or the reason that they're not going to pay.
Hold on, Drag, for a second. What you're saying is good. Kevin, can you please find who got that mic open and mute their mic? I'm sorry, but this is Kevin and Larry's show. Drag is saying something real good, and I want to hear it all.
Come on, Rick.
Okay. what I was saying, when these guys are betting money that they can't afford to lose, in Chicago, we call it no-go money. You know, they bet that no-go, and they lose it. Now here comes the technicalities. You know, here comes the reason not to pay. He touched the center line. He got loose. The light didn't come on. All this nonsense is happening. Here comes the humbug, the fight, you know, all the craziness. If the guys would do what D is saying, do Lord bet to where it's affordable to you. You know what I'm saying? You can walk away with a $200 loss a lot easier than you can walk away with a $2,000 loss. And stay within your means. It'd be a whole lot more racing going on. It'd be a whole lot less animosity, you know, about what's going on in the racing because Joker done lost his last. You know, he hate the world.
And I'm going to show you something, Gunny. What Rick just said brings back memories. And he was there. He can contest this also. I ran a game on Doty. My car actually did touch the center line. But I was 8-9 cars out front. The first thing he wanted, snakes of racing, he'll say it, don't pay me. He said, how can I not pay him when the man drew up me 1,400 feet? You know what I ran, Junior? First thing he said was, don't pay me. The first thing you can see was, how can I not pay me? So that goes back to what he was just saying. They use one technicality after another to try to get away from paying a race. That's why we said, let's bring the price back down to where a working man can pay it off.
It's
always going to be fast better. If you bring the price back down, me and the man don't rotate no more. We were good friends for 30-some-odd years. We don't rotate no more. But I have to give credit where credit is due. DD is one guy that you always hit the track. He will state it, and then he'll go out there and do it. He's out running for 50 and up. And he actually well, did that.
Hey, can I say something? Let me add to that. Drag, I'm going to say this. Grudge racing to me is just like the Roman gladiators back in the day. People like to see people get beat up on and pounded out, especially. And that's the truth of it. Now, me, myself, personally, I think that people should, well, I'm not going to do anything I can't afford to do. And I'm going to tell you that right now. I have done it, and I've lost my
ass. Gunny, can I help you on this? Gunny, can I tag in?
Hold on. Let me say what I want to say.
Okay, let me know if you're going to tag me.
I'm going to make it real quick. If a man gets out there and bets above his means and goes over his means, he needs to lose his behind. He needs to lose his natural-born behind because he ain't got no business doing it anyway. He let his pride and ego get carried away with him.
Tag.
Yeah, but that's what Drag was just saying. Brad, ego.
Okay, so go ahead. Go ahead, Hood. But I like
okay,
to
now
the
Gunny
hurt.
Just
like
tagged me.
Man
now
face.
Listen, I like grudge racing. I like when guys race for $500 to $1,000 only. But I'm going to lie to you, and I'm going to say the big races stop races because that's what I preach. If you're trying to price a man out and you want to race him for $5,000 or 10,000 in one WAP, you're going to stop races. But when that race do get up there and that man take out that 10,000 and he can't afford to lose it and he's against a similar car to his and the electricity's in the air, there's nothing like it. The Roman gladiators, when they fight to the death, you on their seat, the edge of your seat. When they fighting for funsies or the first one to touch the other one's shield, it's not as exciting. So that's where the money comes into play. And where you get more action with the less thing on the line. But more is better in when it comes to human nature. And you want to see, you know, sometimes you just in the mood where you want to see blood. You want to see that guy get gapped for $20,000 when you know he going to lose his shop for it. It's human nature. When he go home, he not going to have a house to stay in. He ain't going to have a race car no more. That's how I got into the sport. My first race I went to as a kid, when I rode my bike up to the race spot, they was racing for titles, and they were two beautiful cars. And I was so young, I couldn't grasp the thing that when one of these guys lose this race, the other guy takes his car. And that's what happened. That was one of the first races I seen. And it made it interesting to me. And guess what? When I got off that bike, I got me a race car. And it got me into it. So,
well, and you know what? The good thing about that is when a person, I have to hold my hand up in the air because I'm a witness. I rode down south five times. Five times I've seen Corn Dog Bunny get paid. I'm talking about with the same person. Five times. Okay? I like to see everybody race. But sometimes I have a special event that I want to see go down. And it's worth, I feel like it's worthwhile to me to ride all the way from Chicago to Georgia to North Carolina to Florida or so far and so on just to enjoy myself because it's going to be about drag racing. So my thing with it is, like you see a person lock up and say, we're going to race by 4 o'clock. Okay. If you're not in the stage lane 1 minute after, you lost your money. Now, do it sound like it's about drag racing or do it sound like it's about something else?
You know, we have somebody talking. Hey, Larry,
hold on a second. I think that it should be people that's coming from all over the world to come and see this. I don't want to see nobody pay no money.
Larry, we can't hear what you said, man. Somebody's talking over you. You can't hear that.
I'm trying to hold their thoughts like 30 times. I should not have to ask a person to hold their thoughts 30 times before they quiet down. Now, I've been saying for the last 2 minutes, hold your thoughts. We men on this show, we should act that way.
Yeah, it don't make no sense. You talking while the other man talking, y'all. If you got something to say, just say, say something. A lot of men to get out what he want to say. Those are some of the things that make the talk shows bad. You know, I don't want to hear half of what Larry got to say. I'm on here to hear what he got to say. So, have some decency about yourself, fellas.
I'm trying to get to something here right quick. I want my co-host to get everything he got out. But I made an announcement when the show started that one of our racing brothers has gone on home. Now, I have some members of their family on tonight, and we want to acknowledge him. You know, someone might know him, some may not. So we want to take a moment to acknowledge a racing brother has gone home, and we're going to take a moment of silence. We're going to do a little prayer for the family, and we're going to get back into drag racing. At this moment, I'm asking my producer to give whatever information he has on the brother. Some of you guys might know him. Come on.
Okay, guys. We had Bobby Lee Taylor pass away this week from Wilson, North Carolina. His funeral is scheduled tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll be at Wilson Chapel FWB Church at 513 East Byron Street, Wilson, North Carolina. If anyone would like to attend, please attend Dee's going to have do a prayer for the family. Guys, go ahead, Dee.
Okay. Will everyone give us a moment of silence, and we're going to whistle a little prayer for the family. I don't know him personally, but he's a brother in the drag racing world. We're going to give him a little quick prayer, and then we're going to get back in the drag racing. Father God, we come to you once more again and just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being God above all. Father, we have one that has been called home. If his number on this earth has been called. You said in your word, Lord, you said that heaven was not, earth was not our home, but heaven was. Father, you said in your word that man born was born of a woman. They were born of sin. They were going to be here for a little while. Now, we don't know the brother personally, but we've been told that he was a good brother. We ask that you touch the family. Give them peace, Father. Give them a mind to stay strong. Give them the knowledge, Father, to know that you can make no mistakes. Let them know, Lord, that you love them and that whatever you have done, that you've done it because you know, not I, not them, but that you know what's best. Father, we ask that you touch them. Touch their heart, touch their mind. Give them strength and hold on, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, like I said, brother, we don't know the brother. Some of us on this line might know him. I don't know him, but we know that if he's a drag racer, one of our brothers. So for those that's in the North Carolina area, if you can, please go, you know, support the family for the last time. If not in the area and you can go, please go support the drag family for the last time. Now with that being said, we're going to get back to drag racing and we're going to start off with Brother Larry. Brother Larry, if you would be so kind to come back in and you might want to start over before you do that. I'm like, drag, I want to hear the whole thing. Brother Larry, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Lee.
Okay. Jeff Mike. If you would like, I didn't catch all of it. I know Drake said the same thing. He wanted to hear the whole thing. So if you'd be so kind to honor us with it, give us everything that you were saying so we can get the whole picture.
The picture that I was trying to lay out was this here. What's bringing us together in the first place is the fact of the matter that people love drag racing. And with people loving drag racing, you got some people that's dedicated. And when you have a group of people that are dedicated, you know, we have different type of people from all over the world. We have some that's not dedicated. We have some that play games. We have some that do this and that and so forth and so on. The point that I was trying to make was this here. When I leave out of Chicago, regardless of whether I'm pulling a trailer or I'm not pulling a trailer, whether I'm going to race or not going to race, I'm going to fellowship. And when I think enough of a event that's going on to drive all the way from here to there on a consistent base, that means that I care a lot about drag racing. So I'm going to see drag racing. If I turn around and drive all the way down there just to see somebody pay punk out money, then I belong in a mental institution because I wouldn't do that no kind of way because it benefits me none whatsoever. My enjoyment is gone. My money is gone. My time away from my family is gone. And so far and so on. So I say that to say this. I just think that that punk out money has put a black eye in the drag racing. You know, and like I said, that's solely just my opinion, you know, and the reason I'm giving my opinion in the first place is because I got a dislike for it. You know, I think that if me, back during the time when we were racing, if a guy had a car broke and it was obvious that it had broke, we made arrangements where we'd run another time. Not if you turn around, you show up in the staging lane, we say 4 o'clock, and you show up a minute after 4, you done lost that race. Okay, you got to pay the punk out money. That's not about drag racing to me. Because if you want to race, I can allow a guy an ample amount of time to get his car straight to get to the staging lane, even though we did say 4 o'clock. Okay, you need a little bit more time? Okay, let's say 4:30. Is that how much time you need? So far and so on. Because I come down there to drag race. I didn't come down there to receive no $200 punk out money, no $500 punk out money. I want to race. That's what the trailer is behind me for. You know, so that was just a parable that I was making to everybody because of the simple fact that the tasting left my mouth. And I have to be truthful and honest with each and every one of you all because I have fellowship with you all. And I have never got on this thing, on this show, or around drag racing and lied to anybody. I've lost the taste. I don't have the desire to run up and down the highway like I did, you know. And it's all because of that, you know. And it's taken away from me. I can't say what it's taken away from them. Some people enjoy doing what they do. And I enjoy doing what I do. And my thing is to fellowship with people, to come and support my friends, and to turn around and enjoy myself. That's what my life is about, you know. It's too complicated right now, you know. And with it being complicated like that, it seems that the main objective that it's about is not about that anymore. That's all I wanted to say, you all.
And you know what? I like the way you put that, Larry, not just because it's the way I'm feeling right now, but it's the fact that if you wanted to race and I came an hour late, you still would have raced.
Well, can I comment on that, Larry? Mm-hmm. Can I comment on who that is that's speaking now? Who is that speaking right now?
This is Rob.
Rob, let's check this out, Rob. For those that don't know, the late 80s and 90s and 2000 races, you know what the punk out used to be back in the day? First of all, it started off as just money to get two guys to the same place where they caused the run. Once the guys got there, we called it lockup money. We didn't call it no punk out. We called it lockup money. So, and that may be when it changed, when the name changed. I don't know that to be for sure. But when we had lockup money, we had a place that we met at over here mostly all the time was OC Shop. If D and I was racing against each other and D showed up, we said we're going to run about, you know, 7-8 that night. D and his crew started showing up around, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Well, once both cars get there and both guys agree to where they're going to run it, the lockup money goes back to the people that put the money up. Now, getting to a little further down the line, the lockup money used to be if you locked in to run somebody to run for $6,000, $5,000, $4,000, whatever it is, and they locked up $500. It was okay if you felt like you couldn't beat him; he was too fast for you. Before you would give him the lockup money, you would run him for the lockup. Now it's gotten to the point that if you put in what we call lockup money, nowadays it's called punk out money. If you don't run or if for some reason something happened or you feel like he's too stout for you, you're going to pay the lockup money out, which is now called the punk out money, then you don't even run. You lose the money right out. You understand what I'm saying? And now I'm going to comment. I'm going to take it a little further than that. I've heard people talk about how many times Lil Tony has paid the punk out. You know what? Lil Tony is a lot smarter than people give him credit to be. And if you call him a punk, then I guess I'm just as much a punk as Tony is. Because if I got 2,000 locked up to run for 10,000 and my pride get in the way and make me say I'm going to run him anyway, know that my stuff ain't right, and go out there and race for 10 and lose, where I could have paid off two, then I guess that makes me a punk too.
That makes me improve. Well, see, Rick, I'm going to show you something. And what you just said, it kind of like coincides with what I asked earlier. Do you think it would be more racing, better for racing? What you just said is exactly what we went through. You know, like you said, they don't call it lockup now, they call it punk out. And it's just another form of taking someone's money for free, stealing. I call it stealing without a gun. Stick without a gun, what I call it. Because I'm getting a $2,000 raise locked in for $200. I'm like, he was just saying, well, Tony, I'll pay that $200. If I have a chance to save the bar, I'm going to save the bar. Especially if I know I can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at it from the left side. Lock in $2,000 on $2,000. If I leave here and I go to Jackson, or I go to Hattiesburg to race with, I want to lock in the $2,000 on the $2,000. Because I don't want to get out of there and I make what he feel like was a 3-second lunch. And now I'm just going to give you guys $200 and let him go back home. Because I ain't going to lose that $2,000. As to if we lock that $2,000 in, now you're going to get your butt to the line.
You're doggone right, Lee. Now, what you said makes a lot of sense, and I hadn't thought of that. But if you lock in $2,000 to run for $2,000, regardless you win, run or not, you got $2,000 on the line. Even if you got a problem with your car, you're going to give it a shot because Rick may break, Rick may turn the red on, Rick may cross the center line, or what have you. But if you had that same $2,000 race with only $200 locked in, and you know that you got some issues or problem, the smart thing to do is pay the $200 off.
Pay that $200 off. I was looking at YouTube yesterday, and before yesterday, I got a text that we're looking at this way. Tony Brown is running somebody. And Tony did the smart thing. And Tony said, listen, I don't know about this. He said, but I know I got to pull this tree down on him. And you yourself can contest this. I've said it several times. Street racing. We have went into race knowing
we had to leave. Knowing we had to leave first.
Dump this man, we in trouble. I'm going to say this here also. Though. We have went into race knowing that, please, Drag, don't jump him.
Yeah.
And he jumped anyway, and we almost didn't get out of there. But
Donnie got shot up. Donnie got shot up by the boys out there in the fields.
It has been races, man, where we went into the races. The cars were so closely knitted until we actually feel like, man, if Drag do not jump this guy, and not saying it because he's here, but we have sat in the street 5 minutes. Oh, let me back up a minute. Back up. That just brought something to mind. I get so sick and tired of hearing this, too. Lock in 500 on 25 or better off the trailer. When you a street racer, you can't strap the trailer anyway.
All of them off the trailer on the streets.
So you went, it's been time when we would start our cars up and drive to the racing ground, especially in the wintertime, and then try to jump the seat in it. So we got to the racing ground, you come strap the trailer and go to your track, go to your land. But now, it has been races where if Drag didn't jump him, we knew we was in trouble. So he had to put his cap on and fight with it, man. So if my whole point is that you give them an opportunity to save the bar when you lock in such a small amount. Now, $200 is not a small amount of money, but it's a small amount of money when you look at paying up $2,000 or $2,500. It's a small amount.
Absolutely. And if any of these guys, there's any guys on this line that's in the sound of my voice that was shot dice before, and you grab 4 for a point, or grab 10 for a point, you grab 5 for a point, you grab 9 for a point. You ain't going to bet too often that you're going to straight make it when you got somebody going to bet the bar.
Bet the bar. They play.
There's a way out, possibly, if you go 6-ace, you save the bar. So paying the lockup is the same as saving the bar. Call me the biggest punk in drag racing. I'm going to walk home with my other 1,800. You can have the two. But I'm not finna give up $2,000 when I can give up $200. No, I ain't got no win. That's crazy. That's just drag opinion.
I don't knock paying the punk out off on one hand. But on the other hand, I knock it when you see it as an opportunity to wiggle out of a race that you locked in. You know, I come to Larry, and I tell Larry I want to run him 300 on 3,000 or better.
But then when I get to the racing ground, man, Larry ain't that crawling that I seen last week. This man is doing the thing. So now I start scratching my head. I'm looking for an out. Okay, I'm gonna save the bar. I'm gonna pull the car while I'm in my car won't start. Here you're 300, I'm gone. I'm 2,700 to the good versus losing it. That's what I think need to get out of racing. And I think the best way to do it, like I said earlier, I told Gunny, you know, I'm not the smartest man in the world. I'm just along with him being the dumbest. If we bring the pot back now to 1,000 or less and get side bets on for all that money you want to bet, a lot of them guys, and Rick, no, I'm not just saying this, we've seen guys be trapped with $200,000 in the hand and can only bet $200 or $300 of it because the rest of it is no-go money. You know,
no-go. No-go.
Yeah, that no-go. So,
yep.
Bring the pot back down to where you can afford. My thing always have been, I said, any money that I gamble with should be money that I can throw on the ground and walk away and okay, we'll pick it up.
Well, if a person would use that theory, it'd be like Hood was saying, it'd be a whole lot more racing going on, and it would be a whole lot less animosity and, you know, people wanting to fight or personal stuff getting into it, you know. But they don't, man. The dudes want to bet the house. And I've been in that position. I wanted to bet the house. But now that money comes legally and hard.
Look, the difference back then, though, when you were betting the house, you could bet the house. I could bet the house.
I was able. Yeah.
We were able to bet the house.
Yeah,
now,
no doubt.
I could never bet no house. And I don't want to fight either.
What up, Kevin?
How y'all doing, man?
Give us your opinion, man. What you think? Give us your opinion since you're on the line. Do you think if you travel from here to Jackson and you wanted to run Tony Bynes for, say, 3,000? Do you think it would be better to lock in the whole 3,000, or would it be better to lock in, say, 300 on 3,000?
Well, I would say lock something in good faith because both races should be
serious hold on. We can throw out the winner. Let's throw out the winner right now because we all know drag racing is not in good faith.
What I mean is it got to be some type of understanding between the both races. It makes no sense for me to lock in a race with somebody that I know full of shit. So if I know you full of shit or you got a reputation of being smelly, I wouldn't even lock in with your ass. If we go somewhere and we just pass the race, that's what we do. But it got to be some type of trust between them two. Something, it got to be something there. You can't just bring your ass down there with
Mr.
Whatever.
Mr. Kim, I put a letter. Uncle Larry, Uncle D, whatever y'all, you know, I got something I want to say about this thing y'all talking about, this money and drag racing. If you bring back on some of these astronomical pots and these people stop betting money that they can't lose, you'll have safer racing, too, because a lot of these guys get behind and cars get out of control, bro, and they try to drive through it. And they end up hurting themselves and other people doing that.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Big Daddy. It'll be a whole lot different if the numbers was down, you know, like these guys, this topic that they're talking about. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I just wanted to add that little bit, you know.
That's right. And with what Leroy said, he absolutely right, too. Because you don't lock in no money with no incompetent son of a gun because you ain't doing nothing but adding frustration to your racing. They not going to pay, and I'm going to put him out there, too, because he did this. Them boys from down in Georgia, I think their name was the Griffin boys. That was his name, the Griffin boys. They locked their money with five people, and I happen to have been one of them, for $500. Lied and said he was going to be at 41 to race some cutlass or something he had, and he was going to run Leon's car. I had Leon 69 to run them with, and them dudes never showed up. I talked to him on the phone. He said that they was getting a hotel. They was already in Indiana, and blah, blah, blah. He did that with about five different people. So you need to know who you're dealing with, you know, and that makes really good. Yeah.
Hey, Dre, can you hear me? Can I speak on that real quick? Uncle Larry, remember that. Griffin was a kid. He was a kid. He was getting on shows, and he was locking in races, and he was doing a bunch of stuff. And he so happened thought that he thought you were playing, and you wasn't serious about it. And a couple
well, anybody know anything about drag racing? No, I ain't playing. Anybody. So that's
no,
was, a, you know.
Yeah, that, but we want to try to say that particular person, Griffin, was a kid from Florida who kept getting on these shows. And I think it took you and one other guy, and this happened about 3 years ago, had to get him straightened out. And we have not heard from him since. And so yeah. Everybody take the show back over. But your drag is right. You know, you guys got to watch who you're talking to.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Leroy. I didn't want to take too much of what you were talking about. I just wanted to address that because I feel that people need to hear that about what you guys are talking about. But go ahead, bro. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. I'm all right. Yeah, well, you know, I got ADD, so y'all got to refresh me on the topic of you.
Well, you were speaking about locking in money with the with competent people, people that, you know,
right.
Word is mean something.
Yeah,
you know, they
right.
tell you something, they're going to do it.
That's correct. You want, you know, anything can happen, and you want to lock in a race with somebody that you got a good chance of getting that race off with instead of just going down the road for some lockup money, because that could easily happen too. And even though you get that lockup money, you still really lose because you don't get a chance to race in pretty much, you know, you know, it like for example, it cost me over $1,000 to get down the road, and I get paid $500 lockup money. That's not good for me. So not only do you want to, you know, consider the lockup money, but consider the race actually getting off. That's what you want to. You know you want that race to get off, and you want a good chance of it getting off. So you set up races with credible people, and not people that got a reputation of chicken shitting out.
Yeah, I got you.
That's why we made the statement earlier. If you lock in and you go around for 2,000, if you lock in at 2,000 on 2,000. He ain't gonna holler at BS you around because you know he can't walk up and hand you 200. You know, like we remember Rick said earlier, this is not saying the bar. This drag racing thing, it's a sport for us, it's a game for us, but yet it's serious. You know, we go back to being friends after the race. You know,
right?
Now,
but if you're speaking about,
you won't touch that 500 loss. You know.
Yeah, but now you stand a better chance. I'm getting caught up in some bull crap because you're locking in more money. And once again, you gotta deal with good people. And it's rare that you deal with somebody that's like that. It's a lot to it, but you know who's serious about racing. And the ones that's most serious about racing don't try to, you know, ski off on the damn lockup money. You know,
so yeah, I'm going to put it here. I'm going to say this, and I think everyone on this horn, even like you know, I said earlier on the sound of my voice, I think everyone knows TB is serious about racing. But he said he don't like to, but he won't never say he don't. He can say he don't like to. He'll pay you a $200 race off. He'll pay a $200 lockup off, or he'll pay a $100 lockup off a lot easier than he wants to go and take a chance on losing $3,000 or $2,000 when he feels he ain't going to have a win. Yeah.
Right.
Jared used himself for an example, and it makes sense. If I could say the bar, you would show me something that I didn't see last week when I locked you in. And, man, he'll take this 200. I can't win.
Right.
Hey, that's not making me incredible. That's not making me a piece of dipstick either. That's making me pretty smart. So
yeah,
you showed me 8-0 last week. I'm thinking that you run 6-20 this week. That's making me pretty smart, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I say credible, D, you know what I mean by credible. So I don't know if you're saying that to what I said, but credible is meaning somebody that, you know, word at least means something to, you know, shit like that.
Stand up. Someone stand up that's going to do what they say they're going to do. I understand exactly what you're saying, Leroy. Somebody that you know, you can take their word to be what it is.
Right.
Word is mine. Absolutely.
Yeah, because we know we all got little temples here and there. They might can water down a little bit here and there, but we don't want to get down that road and have to tighten up nobody collar or snatch their drawers up in the ass or nothing. You know, don't nobody want to get no confrontation about no damn money, but, you know, our little temples and shit like that, you know, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, you just want to deal with people that you got a good, that's worth something.
Trouble-free
you know,
situation, man, if you can have it. You don't go there looking for the humbug if they don't do this. You want to know that it ain't going to be no humbug because they're going to do the right thing, you know?
Right. You know, it's going to be all right, man. But I just want to touch on it just a little bit and let y'all have the flow back because I'm a little fatigued right now. I'm in Vegas right now, and I've been standing out at a park and all that, so I'm kind of
Hey, Leroy, go. You're in Vegas?
Yes.
Go to the casino and put me $500 on the yoke. Call me up, and I'll tell you when to do it.
Okay, hey, it's whatever you want me to do, baby.
But just call me first. Now, don't just go do it and say I did it.
No, I understand the rules, baby. I'm going to have a camel roller.
Yes, sir. Not going to happen. We're shooting the casino. You're not going there with a camel, bro. You can forget it.
Oh, no, they ain't going to see the camel. They ain't going to see it. We ain't new to this. We do this.
They got surveillance too.
Hey, man, I got surveillance too. I streak through that motherfucker with no clothes on, screaming and hollering. I don't give a fuck.
Wake up in the cell the next morning with knuckle knives on your head, too.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, how your ass in a straitjacket.
Yes, sir. They don't fumble around down there in Nevada, boy. They got some jacked up laws down there. You get out wrong,
man,
partner. You're not making it back north.
If you walk across the street wrong, if you don't walk within the lines, they'll lock your ass up.
Yes, sir.
Look, let me ask you something. Look, ask me this over there. If you enjoy the center of that, and you get to a cat and you say, you don't have to, right? You got to say, $50.
Hey, look, we got such a bad background, I can't understand what you're saying, bro.
Either that or somebody got the phone in their damn mouth.
It's cleared up now.
Somebody eating the goddamn phone? Can you hear me now?
I hear you good. I hear you good, Bruce.
You know, my people had to perform down here. And man, the damn sound equipment was so goddamn bad, man. I just stood on the side laughing like a motherfucker. they on the mic. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Can you hear me now? That shit was terrible, you know. But they got through it, you know. Oh shit.
Yeah.
All right, look, let me ask you, check this out. Let's say you and Drag wanted to race, and Drag coming to you and he went around for three.
I got money.
Say you want to run Drag for three, but all you get is, say, 15.
All Drag got is
15. Let's just say you two and the
friends. Who that, baby, on the phone?
You know that, baby. I'm about to do this money.
Man, stop lying on me, bro.
Hey, what up, baby?
Drag gonna have a 15. If you come into the staging lane with Drag, would you go and run with that 15? Or would you say, if he ain't got the 3, I ain't racing? You about to make a pass when you start anyway. Would you take the 15 bit?
Hey, Ben, would you ask me that?
Yeah, I'm asking you that.
Okay. I'm sorry, D. Could you repeat that?
I'm saying, if you and Greg was trying to race,
and you want to run Rick for three, but he tell you he ain't got the 15. You won't run. Uh-huh. But let's just say you and him coming to the staging lane together. Would you go on and take this 15 in as a bet, or would you not run and say you got to have three?
You're saying if he only got 15 and he says, let's run for the three, or what you saying?
Yeah, you want to run for three, but he don't have a 15, so you won't race him. But let's just say you two coming to the stage.
If Drag asked me to race for a dollar, I'll do it. So I think that's a bad example for me.
Okay, let's say you and Mason race. Say you're going to run Gunning. If you and Gunning go run.
I'll run his ass. I'll make a bet with Gunning. Oh, no, I can't say that about Gunning, but that I hit him across his ass with this leather belt I got, you know.
So what my point is that, would you go and take the money that he got, considering you're about to make a pass on your car anyway, or would you not take the money that he got because he don't have the substantial amount of money that you want to bet? You're at the track. You're about to make a pass anyway. Would you go and run for the money that he got, or would you not?
Probably run for the money. I'll probably run for whatever. Because at times I get thirsty as a goddamn mountain lion. I don't just fucking like to race for the money. I like to put on them. See, look here, man. I'm a showman. I like to put on a motherfucking show, man. I'm a goddamn fool. You hear me? I like to be a goddamn fool.
You already know
the answer to the question asking me that, because you know I like to show my ass. I ain't spend all that money on that motherfucker for nobody not to see it run. I want to put on a show. I want to do some goofy shit, raise the Willie Bob a little bit so I can Willie all the way down the track, whooping somebody ass on the Willie Bob anytime there's shit.
You mean you want to put the banana in the tailpipe? Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. I wouldn't put the goddamn banana in the fucking tailpipe. No, I won't. I put the fucking banana in the fucking tailpipe and I fucking drop a valve and it shoot out the side and hit somebody in their ass. You know? Why would I do that, buddy? I don't want to hit
If it shoots out the side and hits somebody in their behind, you must be got some side extra headers or something. You ain't got no under the chassis headers.
Exactly. No, we don't do under the chassis no more, Drag, because that shit be loud as hell in the car. When you got the side headers, that shit don't be all in the inside of the car. That shit, you know, man, with them big ass motors, you start with that gang, boom, that shit be hitting you all in your back and. You know, man, that shit is ugly in the car. But, you know,
that's just a feel that you got used to, though, Leroy. That's a feel that you used to.
Man,
I had an option to put side headers on my car. I did not do it.
Check
this out, though. Look. I've listened to a few engine builders, and most of the guys, they tend to feel that putting their header out through the center is going out the world backwards.
Going out the world backwards?
Yeah, they tend to feel that you're asking the head to do something that's not physically able to do.
Right. And hey, I sell them, but shit, I ain't had no problem with it. So, shit, I won't say, hey, whatever their theory is or whatever, hey, it's all good with me. But I don't think the headers know
that they out the side, out the bottom, out the top of the car, whatever the case may be. But the tunability of the headers to get the lens correct, you know, is probably harder to do out the side because, you know, you only have so much room to get them out. You can't have them sticking way outside. You know, you whack them off right there at the edge of the fender, opposed to having the under chassis header to where you can spaghetti it around, you know, to get the lengths and stuff correct on the under the chassis header. So if I would have to say, but then another thing, nowadays most guys are running nitrous, and with nitrous that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, you can damn near have no collect on the thing, you know, on nitrous.
The thing they were saying was that, you know, listen to you or not, you know, I don't, haven't done any research myself on it to say yay or nay. But the thing out here I'm saying is that the head is coming out the fender, it does a different turn with the head as far as the flow goes. That's what they were speaking on.
I'm right here, D.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello, I'm going to have to say.
No, I got had a lot of noise in the background. So.
Oh. What I was saying is that most of the guys feel like the flow of the head. The guys out there, they were saying that his head.
Go get this
door. You know, I haven't done any research on it. I would talk to my man, you know, I'm a firm believer.
A lot of noise in the background.
Go with it. I would talk to him on
the phone. Give me a cut. Give me 1 second, please. Go ahead.
Okay.
Something has happened here that the phone is, we hear a lot of, stuff going on.
I can't say what's going on right now, but I'm sure he'll get it straight there. It's bad with
Hello?
No, you
were
there yesterday.
Dan,
you were there. All right, I'm back. Watch your mouth, Negro.
Okay, D, I'm back with you.
Okay. We
finished. I know it should sound a lot better now because I had a lot of noise in the background, you know.
Yeah, I got Larry. Rick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Left, you there?
Man, I lost Leroy.
I lost him. I had a few more guys on the air. If your mic is still open and you're on there, man, hold your hand and holler at me.
Hey, Mr. D, what's happening? I'm still here. I got a question. Can I say something real quick?
Come on.
Being that we have these shows day in and day out. The shows are great for the fans, the people that's not really in the mix. That way, we all get to learn a little bit more. Just like I just learned something more about the headers. But as we identify these problems, when are we going to get together and start to take corrective measures for them? Drag your promoter, Clocks Office promotions, Leeward does promotions. Who else on the line does promotions, event promotions?
That's a good question. I'm not living at this moment.
Okay, well, the thing is, there's quite a few people that promote, and we all identify the problems. We all want to make the races better. When are we going to start to take corrective measures instead of reach in and reach out, talk about, you know, what we need to do and who you're doing what, things of that nature. I never knew.
Let me ask this guy, I don't mean to intervene here, but when you say that, I heard you make that statement earlier. The young man was talking, I believe that was Rob talking, and you were saying we have to expose him. Are you saying if they're doing something good, we should make it known? If they're doing something under the table, we should make it known if we know.
Absolutely. I mean, and the way, in my opinion, to make it known as in that's your opinion. Because, like you said, everybody has one, you know, just like everybody got a booty hole. But,
yo, what up, shorty? What it
but,
do? Let's do it, baby.
Mr. D, y'all ain't going to beat me up, Mr. D. I recognize the house with my head.
Come on with.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Hey, Trent, how you doing? I'm sorry.
Hey, how you doing, Leroy?
Hey, could you mute your mic?
Yeah,
mute his mic.
Hey, baby, you looking good tonight. Hey, I love you.
What y'all going to do with him? But anyway, you know, like I said, we see a lot of stuff that goes on in the rugby game. Everybody knows who's what everybody's doing. Everybody knows who's not trustworthy. But, you know, the thing is now, and let me add one more thing to say that. You quoted scripture earlier today, right? And I think we have a good religious foundation here, but since when has the Lord not shamed the devil? Since when has the Lord took a back seat to letting wrongs go unrighted and letting wrongs go uncorrected? Where do they do that at? When does men stop being men for the sake of the dollar?
According to the word, but God, in every fashion, every faith, every show that world, whatever he done, God revealed it. He put a cover off of it.
Say that again, Mr. Thomas.
In every fashion, every opportunity that ever presented itself, whatever the devil was doing that was wrong, God pulled a cup off of him. You know,
exactly.
He made it be known to mankind.
Well, that's my point, Mr. D. That's my point. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know, and I'm including myself in this batch, too. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. Actually, I'm pointing a finger at any and everybody, but I'm also including myself. When are we going to take a stand to try to correct the wrongs in what we love to do? You know what I mean? And we don't have to go out and say, hey, you dirty motherfucker, this, that. We don't have to do any of that. But what we can do is get together and start to throw quality events together where, in the name of the game, everybody knows we would all like to make some money. But if everybody can come in and make some money and still have the day job during the day, that's what it's all about. You can't make a living at this. Get a day job.
That's
get a job, put some burgers or something, too, and then let this supplement whatever else you want to do. Let it be the money that you use to raise your call with.
Like this, brother. The Bible says this. The Bible says that money cure all faults. The Bible says the love of money. You didn't say money, but he said the love of money was the root of all evil. So we can't make it a God. But with that being said, I'm going to ask you this. Do you think it's fair? I do. I want your opinion. If you're doing the racing world for dirt, if you're doing a racing world dirt, then aren't you doing that to everyone that's involved in racing? So shouldn't the color be pulled off of you for it?
It should be yanked off, and your butt should be left shivering, naked, and wet.
If you undercut me in this racing world, you're not just undercutting me. You're doing drag, Leroy, Cadillac, Tony, Wick, Lad. You're doing everyone in the racing. DJ. I mean, aren't you cutting everyone's throat? If you're in racing and you undercut a man, you're cutting drag racing, not him. So, yes, I think the racing world should know that you're a snake and get you out the game.
Well, let me add one more thing to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to, you know, I hate to try to BS and, say one thing and really mean something else. For all the promoters out here, for the fans, if the promoters walk away, right, with $8,000, they got lucky. Some people can walk away with 40. Some people can walk away with 50, 60, 70, and sometimes even maybe 100,000, right? But there's really minimal money to be made in the grudge game. There's really minimal money to be made. The risks are so great, and the return, you know, the return is so little. So, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and support your promoters that throw these grudge events. I like the way the Midwest drag. I never did tell you yet, but I love the way that you took off and went to Donnie's race during the middle of your event. I love you for that. Like, for real, for real. And like I said, as soon as I can get there to support you, bro, you got my full support. But anyway, you know, once again, we all want to make money and we all want to be profitable at what we do. But at the end of the day, these races that everybody thinks there's a lot of money to be made, there's not that much money to be made in this stuff right here. Can it be there one day? Yes. Is it there today? For a very few select people, but for the people, for the promoters that's creating these events for you guys, giving the races a spot to race, giving people a place to go spend their whole day with their family for $20, $40, or however much it may be, and eat up the whole day, not just a couple hours, then you got to go back home. Get out there and support these promoters out here. And dog it all, I'm losing my train of thought. That's all I got to say so far as that. But you guys got to take a stand. I'm sorry. We have to take a stand somewhere, and once we know better, we'll do better. And we all know better. We're all grown men. And drag as much juice as you got up there in the Midwest, bro. Man, please, you should start putting heads to bed and put these folks to shame.
I'm sure drag's a big enough man that I don't really make back a million times. He can speak for himself, but I will say this in his behalf. He's not a confrontational type guy, and he's even more or less than that now. I don't know if he's still there. I hope he's still there. But even more or less now that he done found someone that we all need. He's somewhere along the line. You know, Greg said a few times ago, he said again last night, you know, anything I've done since I was 18, it was on me. But now that he has found that man we call our Lord and Savior, you know, he's even less confrontational than he was back in the days when he was all young and hot-headed. That's what I'm really saying. Yeah, he may know him. Yeah, he probably would love to pull the cover off of him. But loving to do it and then just say doing it, you know, is a different ballgame. Because you just, things that we do as far as exposing someone wrong in this, we got to make sure in the avenues that we walk down, it don't bring about a comeback effect. You don't want to go to Vietnam, Cambodia, you know, to expose something else. I mean, what I mean by that, man, we want our shows to come on and not just this show, but our show, even the global show. You know, we want all these shows to come on and be great shows. I throw a stone at you, and then you throw back at me, and the show gets away from what is originally about. You know, to be about racing. Now, I'm all for if a guy is doing some dirt exposing, because like I said earlier, he's doing dirt to the racing world and not to just an individual. But it all boils down to how we do it.
Let me correct myself.
I can't come on here and I say, you know, man, Gunny made X amount of dollars and stole X amount of money. You know, I can't say that as much as I would like to.
Can I interrupt you there, D?
Before he says that, Drag, let me say this. Let me make clarification as to what I meant. I meant the way I said it, but I also meant this also. Drag, you're such a force up there, Drag. You've been throwing races and you've been doing promotions for so long. Man, you can get together and show these, you know, you can start to throw races and show these people how it's really supposed to be done. And, Drag, I believe you'll get the support. And once you start to throw one good race, another promoter will pick it up, another promoter will pick it up, and another promoter will pick it up. And that will be the blueprint, whether it's Big Drag, whether it's Leroy, whether they work in concert, whether whoever, somebody has to lay the foundation and the blueprint. And you can expose and snatch covers off of somebody, like I said, without throwing a stone. You don't got to call them a dirty motherfucker and a low-down son of a bitch and you did this, you did that. You can just run your program and make sure it ran to the utmost.
That's exactly what I do, got it? You know, you haven't heard me make any comments openly or even under the table about what other people is bringing and talking about, what the differences in the different going to these races, supporting these guys. I do this because I enjoy drag racing. I do not eat because I promote racing from the money that's made. The amount of money that's made that I make, I wish somebody would get the background noise out of the radio, please, so we can get some stuff here discussed, if y'all don't mind. Please mute your mics so we can finish talking here. The money that's made, got it, on one of my race events, man, it barely take care of the people that I have with me, man. And I don't have a bunch of people with me, maybe 8-10 people that's there with me helping me. I do this because I love racing. First, I was asked, you know, to bring something to that track for that weekend. Okay, secondly, I've done that. As far as these guys that don't come for the reason that they don't come for, most of them dislike me, whatever the reason is, that's on them, dude. I got to live with myself, you know, and do what I know to be the right thing. What I did this year, I'll do it again, is because I believe that's the right thing. Whether they follow me, they come, they don't, that's on them. They got to deal with that. But what they need to know and understand, people watching them, people see this, people ain't going to be able to come back and say that Drag say he ain't going over there to support them because they didn't support him. That's on you. I did what I had to do. I'm squeaky clean, bro. So they look for an opportunity to be able to say, Drag said he was going to come and he didn't come. We knew he wasn't coming, blah, 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 blah. That's why I didn't come. Well, guess what? You can't say that the reason that you didn't come or whatever the case may be was because Drag didn't come. I left mine to go to somebody else's, bro, and I had a lot to do that. I had my daughters. I had my grandchildren with me. I had to get them a hotel. I had to make sure they were secure. I had to give them food and everything, and then I took off and did what it was I told everybody that I would do. Reason being because it was my word, not to prove a point to them, because I gave my word, you know. So from getting away from that, but to talk about the promotions of the races, you know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't want to make money doing it, Gunner? I would love to make a bunch of money doing it, but I'm having so much fun until the money is the least important part of this racing. If I can make some money promoting races and still have a great time, sure, I'd love to do that. But right now, it's more fun than money, and I'm enjoying myself doing it.
All right, Drake, that sounds good. That sounds real good.
You did precisely what I wanted you to do. See, when we make statements, and I told Dolph this the other day, we can't leave any stone unturned, because the joker that's out here, man, that's really trying to put black eyes in the game and doing the snake move, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for you to say something. Not say gunning, but for anyone. I mean, when I say you, I mean all drag racers. They're looking for you to say something that they can trap you up in and catch you up on. That's why when you make a statement, if I detect anything in it that need to be clear, I'm going to do just that. And you did it that way once. When you said it, you make it clear. This is what you have to do, because, first of all, you're in a situation, you're in a position where you cannot afford to be left unclear to anyone, especially when a guy is doing dirt and you notice what he's doing. Yeah, you hear me?
Hey, I got a little breaking news on the race report.
Somebody tell me, who I got there?
It's Melvin, man.
Come on with it, Melvin.
What's up, Melvin? We got Fade to Black, Danye, just beat Rugrat, Lil Rick.
Okay, that's one for the show.
And we got the white boys lost to Petey Small Block. Petey Small Block beat the white boy.
Okay.
Beat the white boy from Georgia?
Yep.
Oh, Petey Small Block, that's them boys from New York or Jersey up in there.
Right.
Yeah. Petey Small Block from out of New York. But did he beat the Mustang or he beat the G-Body?
I don't know which car it was. It just says that in my poster. Petey Small Block took out the white boys.
And are we hearing anything from out of the big car race from down in Piedmont? $30,000 back yet?
Danye beat Lil Rick, right?
Yeah, Danye beat Lil Rick.
Okay.
And then we got Motor City Jimbo done took out another shootout at Milan. He done won another one.
Jimbo getting better, ain't he? That's good.
Yep.
That's good. Hey, thanks for bringing that to us, man. We were waiting for someone. I had called my brother earlier. He said it started raining down there, and him and Happy Dog had left and went back this way. So we appreciate you bringing it to us.
Okay. As soon as I get some more, I'll let y'all know. I'm going to go back on. It's a real good show, too, man.
Isn't Danye supposed to be racing Tony Wright and Tony Vines?
Well, Tony, I got a little information on that. They were supposed to have been in the lanes at 8 o'clock. Tony Wright wasn't in the lanes. He paid the punk out, but they done put some more money up to run again. So I don't know if that's going to get off or not, but that's what happened with that.
That's how it's supposed to be right there.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will say, if you guys haven't heard, Scoop, William Brown, has beat the Shadow, and they both made the trip down in Piedmont.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
It was a good race.
Okay, yeah, it is on Facebook. You can go take a look at Facebook. I was supposed to have been there today, but unfortunately I couldn't make it. I missed something I really wanted to go to. But once again, Scoot from out of the George Williams camp with the Copper Orange Camaro has beat the Shadow, and yes, they both made the trip.
Now, where that road so played again? What track was that?
That is in Piedmont. That's in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And that is a $30,000 back half race, and right now they are still down there getting it on. $30,000 back half race. They had an 8-car field. They had
that was a pretty good field.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They had all the major players.
Eight-car field. That's good racing there. That's good. That's good gambling.
And I think it was a $2,500 buy-in. It was a $2,500 buy-in for the cars. For the 8 cars, it's $2,500 buy-in, and they definitely getting it on. For some other stuff, I do know Mike Hill. He got eliminated, but he is still in the race because he does tune on Williams' car. On
you said Mike Hill got eliminated?
Like earlier in the day, he got eliminated, but he's still in quote unquote because he does tune on George Williams' car. And for those who don't know, Scoot is William Brown's son, and that little joker, and he ain't little, but that young man is a bad mofo. And he's cool as a cucumber. You cannot rattle that boy's cage at all, period. Any race they pass you before, you ain't going to rattle his cage.
But you know what makes that good? Maybe now the shadow will get more.
Well, I tell you like this. Me, myself, personally, I don't even care that the shadow got beat this one time. To me, the shadow was still on top. Now, if they continually beat his brains out, if they continually breed his brains out, then I'll say, oh, shit, it's some damn change that's finna go on around here. And that's that. Until the shadow gets continuously beat, yeah, it don't mean nothing. I give Scoop and George Williams Camp all the credit in the world. I give him all the credit in the world. But I don't mean too much to me right now. So, tear the shadow up.
We always have Gunny. One loss, no, it didn't really change the game. But if you lose two or three in a row, then we feel like, you know, the tide was turning and steps up and doing something different. But to lose
the
Green Bay
Who is the Southern Assassin?
The Southern Assassin? You said, who are they?
Yeah, they beat Scoot.
Oh, Southern Assassin took Scoot out.
Yeah.
Whew, man, that sounds good. I can't wait to see the video. I wish I was there getting it, but I can't wait to see that. All right, do we have an update? Do we have an update from out of Texas? I know Texas had a back half race today too, and Team Boulder from out of California. I know they came down with that back half turbo Nova.
Grand Prix.
Yes, sir.
You know, September 1st ain't far.
Man, I'll be right around the corner with your shirt, Drag.
I got, I still own that Ford. I ain't sold it yet.
Hey, Drag, you know what? I got a call about that the other day, and they said, man, are you sure you want to get in that car and drive? Man, I never had a chance to make a blast doing nothing. But
we gonna tone it down. So don't, you said, I heard you say earlier, Gun Picks, I'll be paying attention. The first, no later than the third. You going to get here, you getting strapped down in that cop gun, because I don't give a darn if you were running but a 12-something. You going down the racetrack in that Ford.
Hey, Drag, let me tell you something. You ain't even going to have to look for me, Drag. I'm anxious. And if everything
goes
right.
The car is sitting right now over my buddy's garage with the carburetor off of it because we had some issues with the carburetor. It cost us to lose some money. I got a new carburetor for it. I just ain't put it on yet because I've been so busy playing with the other car. But as soon as you get here, if I ain't put the carburetor on it, me and you going out there and put the carburetor on it, and we headed to the track.
Now, you know what, Drag? Now, that's what I'm talking about. You said me and you are going out there and, boy, I'm going to get more education. Y'all going to be in trouble, boy. I'm telling y'all, y'all just don't know. I'm going drag racing. I'm going drag racing, and that's that. It's a little hot coal in the bottom of my behind. And, boy, y'all finna turn it into a raging, blazing fire. Y'all don't really know me too tough, but I promise y'all, there's everything I've set out to do, I have done it and done it very well. Everything. There's nothing that I haven't set out to do that I ain't done well.
I don't know a better scenario to put somebody in a car that ain't been in a car. This car got the big tires on it now, and it's out to shift itself out, you know, and we're going to run it on the motor. And it'd be a very impressive time that it'll run on the motor, you know, for the night.
You know what I'm finna do? I'm finna drive to summit tomorrow, and I'm gonna get me one of them little porta trees, one of them little hand trees, and I'm finna start practicing.
Well, you don't really that there is nice to have, But that ain't nothing you need now. We need to get you, and this kind of ties is so big on it now because I changed the tie. You really don't need to make no burnout. You can pull to the line and leave. And it ain't going to burn the tires or nothing. It's going to go straight down the racetrack, going to ship itself when it's supposed to ship and everything. We're going to get you an ET.
Man, you know, Lord have mercy, Drag. Y'all, you finna make me really start back going out there, and I'll be hustling around the clock 24/7, T-shirts, CDs, hoodies, this, that, and the third. I got to have money. Drag racing calls money, and I got to get it. I'm going racing.
Oh, you ain't got to have nothing but your fire suit and your helmet. We got the car, and you're welcome to drive it.
Well, I take Drag. I appreciate it. And like I said, you ain't going to see nothing but keeping eyeballs on. But as soon as I get there, I'm going to be grinning from ear to ear. And
you know where I'm at. You know where my house is. You know how to get.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, hey, listen, I'm cheesing like I don't know what through this phone. Man, I feel good right now. I'm going drag racing. Hey, I tell you what, man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going down. I don't know when I'm going to actually be behind the wheel and be able to pull out on my own, but boy, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And Mr. D, are you still on the line, Mr. D? Mr. D?
Yeah, gonna pick.
Yes, sir.
You got the bus.
That sound like Chuck. Is that Chuck? who is that? Is that Chuck?
Everything in drag racing.
Chuck, I told you. Chuck, I told you. When I get ready for you, I'll be the first to let you know. I'm not in a position to take care of you, but as soon as I am, Chuck, we're going to dance a dance. No, we going to dance a mean dance. Chuck, I like you, Chuck. Chuck came in. I was over at Ground and Pound's house, boy. You know my MO. I try to roll you in flour and dip you in the grease. Chuck came in and turned that mess all around. He ruined my day. I had to cut the camera off and get up out of there. He took over. Hey, Chuck, I tell you what, though. As soon as I can, bro, I promise you, Chuck, I'm going to give you a race, and it's going to be for a nice little purse. I ain't going to be like one of these grudge races. I ain't going to be no sensitive racer. I just want to go down the track and have a good time, bro. And that's it.
Ain't going to pit this, ain't Chuck.
Oh, keep talking. Say, let me catch the voice if I can.
Going to pit.
Say again. Boy, I almost got you. Keep talking. Man, you can laugh all you want. I hear you back there, Chuck. Hello?
I hear you.
Oh. All right, well, I'm going to go quiet. I don't know who said that, but, boy, I
same thing happened to him down there. He took the ice from the cattle.
Yeah, get on it before we get to you. Yeah.
I blow the horn.
Mr. D, Larry.
Yes, sir.
All right. Larry, where's Mr. D? Well, gentlemen, I'm going to be quiet on the show right here. He might have been
messing with the truckers. You know how D do.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I think you guys had a great show tonight. I appreciate you guys for letting me come on. Let me say my little piece. And Drag, as always, you're always bringing wisdom to the Grudge Game. Leroy, I don't know where you went to. I guess I won't hear from you for another 2 weeks, but it's all good.
Hey, Gunner.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Gunner.
Yes, sir.
This Cadillac.
Hey, Cadillac, what's that, bro?
Hey, man, what's happening, man? I was trying to catch up with you the other day, man. What happened?
Are you still
doing that?
You talking about up there from the car show, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again, sir?
I'm talking about your show.
Yes, the show's on Tuesday. My show comes on Tuesday. It comes on Tuesday. We actually had a real good show this past week with William Brown. And, you know, William Brown brought a lot of good information to light. He said a lot of good things. This week, I'm thinking about having The Rock on. If The Rock is available, I would love for you guys to come on and talk to The Rock from out of South Carolina and now native of California. and get his perspective on grudge racing. And, you know, my show is about, my show is educating people on the grudge game, who's not aware of the grudge game, getting them familiar with the players who's doing it now and who's done it in back in the day. So once again,
so
my show comes.
Is every Tuesday?
It's every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is only for 1 hour. I do not have a marathon show. My gonna pick as far as
marathon
the no marathon show. Let me tell you what a marathon show is. A marathon show is when there's nobody talking and everybody's hanging on the line waiting for the for 3 hours to go by so they can hang up. We don't do that. Hey, how you doing? Can I get
a myself, buddy. Brad, that's not a clock show thing. We don't do that. None of the hosts of a clock show. You can't, when you catch one of us talking a lot, it's because we have guys that call in, ladies too. They're called in, but they hadn't hit the one button yet. So we have to, you know, keep the line of communication open until they hit the one button. But no clock show host will bogart the show. That's not what we do. We're not about to hit clock show. As soon as you hit that one button, we're going to get your line open and get you on air. So our thing is, you make us, we don't make you. We want to hear what you got to say. So let me say this, guys. We're coming to the end.
Hey, I'm coming
there. Dan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was talking in the back. I didn't want to interrupt the show.
Right.
Hey, what's the number for your show? What's the number for your show on Tuesday night?
It's the same number as this one. It's 347-850, 1016?
1016.
1016? 1016. Let me ask you guys, Rick, you there?
I'm here, hello.
Okay, I hope I got everybody a hand here. You know, the show is coming to an end, guys. As usual, all good things must come to an end. We got a few minutes left, but before we normally, our show is normally going so good, man, that we don't get a chance to thank our audience for calling in. We're going to try to do it tonight. I want to thank all you guys that called in, those that had comments, those that just listened. If you just listen, hopefully next Saturday, you might want to hit the one button and chime in on what we're saying if we say something of interest to you. If you have something else that you would like to talk about other than the topic that we use, it may be something that you want to bring out. Hey, man, all means, hit the one button. We will go off course from time to time and get into what you're saying. So I thank you guys for calling in. We're going to keep it rolling until, you know, if everything comes to end. We are coming in. Right now we're coming down to the end. But,
one more thing.
I just said Daniel Gap, Lil Rick.
Oh, Daniel Gap, Lil Rick, okay.
That's not Lil Rick anymore. That is actually Dog and Matt from Camp 8, I believe. That's Dog and Matt from Camp 8.
But Lil Rick was driving it.
Oh, Lil Rick was driving it. Okay.
They won't let Matt drive it. Dog won't let Matt drive it in the big races right now. He's still got Rick piling into the car. They do own it, but Lil Rick got to do all the driving right now.
Okay.
Lil Rick,
AG, the toughest person, in my opinion, that Donnie got down there is Tony Wright. So if he beats Tony Wright, his action in the South is over. Okay? That is the baddest boy down there.
Who, Tony Wright?
Yes, sir. All the rest of them dudes running around here, you know, trying to grab him, his action is done. So if Donnie get away from Tony Wright, which I think he can't go whooping him, it's always for him. Soft, watch what I tell you.
Hey, Drag, I got to disagree with that one, Drag. Now, Donnie, you're on the 29-0, correct?
Hey, before you say, excuse me, Drag, excuse me, Gunner, I just want to say, let everybody know I'm taking all bets on Fade to Black, on Fade and Gap, Tony Wright. Anything you want to put up, let me know.
Hey, hold on. I'm going to roll with you on that now. Now, I'm rolling with Donnie on that race right there.
I'm rolling with Donnie. I said I'm betting on Donnie.
Listen, guys, he didn't say Donnie wasn't going to whoop him. He said if and when Donnie do whoop him, Drag is saying Donnie action is over in the South. In other words, ain't no one else down there going to run him.
Let me tell you who. Let me tell you who will run Don J. As long as he's sitting on a 29, or the drag radio, live action. Live action to them, I believe.
He called them out already. They hadn't answered the call yet. He called them out.
I tell you what.
He going to run in and everybody. Now, that's who's
probably. I told you my opinion, Gun Picks, when he whooped Tony Wright, if he get away from Tony Wright, I ain't going to say he just got to whoop him, but I believe he can. I believe Don J can whoop Tony Wright. When he whoop him, if he does, it's over with for him. Them boys going to talk all that stuff. He will not get no more South action this year.
Wick is saying that he's going to run all of them. He still got the 901 Bad Boys.
901 Bad Boys can't whoop Tony Wright himself.
No, I believe they got to deal with live action. Ain't no believe about it. I already know for a fact, man.
It's hard to deal with someone. Hey, Gunny. It's hard to deal with someone that won't answer the challenge, though. He's already threw the challenge out to them.
I'll tell you what. Listen here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Next Saturday for the Mr. D and Uncle Larry show, I will get Twin from Live Action on the phone. And we're going to go from there.
Yeah, by all means.
How many more minutes do we got on the show right now?
We got enough time for you to call him.
Okay, let me call him. Let's see if I can get him on the show right now. And in the meantime, can we get an upcoming race date, the promotions that's going on up there in the Midwest? I know we have August 30th, which is going to be Little Tony over at MIR. September 6th is going to be September
Big 6th
Sham is
and Bruce Lee.
That's correct. September 6th is Big Sham and Bruce Leroy. Drag, I know you have a date on.
What's going on?
We have a and I need you there, Gunny. I need you there to film. And shoot the show September the 14th for all that's in the Midwest. We have Big Walker Memorial. For those that don't know Big Walker, he was an icon in the northern Illinois and Wisconsin area. Ford racer, raced Fords all his life, believed in Fords, had a fast Ford. He passed away a year and a half ago. And I just wanted to keep him, you know, keep his memory in our thoughts and stuff and kind of support his racing through a race. So we're giving a race September 14th at Union Grove, which is actually the day after Cox. So if guys are going to Cox, you know, and you ain't got nothing to do on Sunday, we would love to have you there to come support. I guarantee you it will be a huge turnout because that is in Big Walker's area over there. And for those that don't know, there will be grudge racing. There will be an 8-mile tennis tie race there. Then we're going to have some nitro motorcycles there. There will be the Midwest Gassers there. There will be the Nostalgia Super Stocks, not Super Stocks, I'm sorry, Nostalgia Pro Stocks there. And I don't have the flyer in front of me. There's going to be several other races and stuff that's going on there. So bracket racing, grudge racing, ET racing, anything that we normally do at the racetrack will be done that weekend, but it's all, you know, for Big Walker, you know, to try to keep his memory alive.
All right, well, Drag, I will definitely be there. I will be attending every race that you guys have through September until your racing season closes. I'll be at every race. And once again, I know I have a lot of footage from the Midwest. I know you guys are dying to see it. Once again, we will be releasing everything I got very shortly. As soon as I come on home, we're going to start getting it together and start releasing it all. The Midwest,
I got something to talk to you about, too, Gunny. I got something up, and I've been asked to do it. And we got enough time to do it. If you call me this week, we maybe can put it in play.
Okay, absolutely, Drag. I will definitely give you a call. I'll give you a call on tomorrow, either Monday. But I want everybody to know that listening to this show, I want the Midwest to have just as strong of a voice in the grudge game, in this drag racing grudge game, as the Southeast. You know what I mean? There's too many knowledgeable guys up there in the Midwest. It's not that crabbish mentality. I just like what you guys do. You guys have embraced me, and I'm embracing you guys back as hard as I can. I'm embracing you guys back enough to leave home again and really get down and make it happen. And I'm not saying that to make you guys feel good. I love the way you guys love me. Whatever I can do to push you guys up and give you guys that pedestal, that's what we're going to do. And
you know, I told you before, Gunny,
It's not that the guys up here don't have the voice and not doing it. It's just that if you look at YouTube, and we all know this to be true, most of everything you, that we look at, it comes from where?
South.
From the south. And they just don't put the wins up when the north is winning. Now, I don't know who's down there shooting Maryland, but I want to see them pop up, you know. And my man, he grew with me. He made a statement the other day that made a lot of sense to me. It made so much sense. He said, hey, this stuff costs. And I do get paid for doing this. So if you're not paying me, truly don't expect me to put yourself up.
Well, I tell you the truth. I wanted to go out this weekend. I just didn't have $350 to move this weekend. I had a lot of problems. It just wasn't there this weekend. But anyway, to make a long story short, all we can do is do the best we can. You know, but if you've noticed, there's been a lot of people not putting things up down here in the southeast anymore. This stuff costs money. It costs money to go to these tracks. It costs money to drive 8 hours away. It costs money to pay the gate fee. You know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, I really don't.
It's costing money, and they've been losing to the North.
I'm sorry, say it again, sir?
It's costing money, and the North's been winning. That's a combination they don't want to face.
Hey,
I know I ain't no good.
Hey, nah, you ain't. I'll tell you what. Listen, I got y'all back. And like I said, for what I have, you guys are going to get it all. Not you guys, but the world will get it real soon. And that's the best I can say. We're gonna make it happen. We're gonna make it happen. And that's as simple as that. I like the way you guys, man. You guys are tenacious, and you guys got a ferocity that I just, I've seen it down here in the South, and the Midwest is the only other place that I've seen it duplicated. I haven't seen it duplicated in the Northeast. I haven't even seen it duplicated out West. You guys are tenacious. And when you have that combination, something is bound to happen. It's just a matter of time.
We got some ghetto boys trying to go to the racing, that's all.
Yeah, all right. Them ghetto boys know something. And that's that. Shoot, that's
hey,
that. And that's not, yes, sir.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Sir?
Haven't you noticed the change in the North yet?
In the Midwest or the Northeast?
I know I was hearing all before and here and there that we are weak.
Man.
We said we are not weak men. It's the more coming, Gunner. It ain't over with yet. The season is closing, getting closer. But our season closed late down that way, Gunner. There's going to be some more for him to see, Gunner. I said that earlier, and I'm going to say it again.
When Donye went up to Maryland and tore their mouth out the frame, when he put his boot way in the bottom of William Brown's behind, man, you had the fans say, and I got it on footage, I don't know who that MF-er is, but y'all better leave that man alone. They said, that car is flying, and I got him on camera saying it. You know what I mean? Quite a few people, man, they was running over there with their money and whatnot, asking who are these people, where they from, wanting to try to get in the pot and whatnot. But, man, they already know what problem it is. But I would like to see more of y'all get out there and go. Because right now, travel-wise, nationally-wise, Donye got the Midwest on his back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Donye is truly holding it down for the Midwest solo. No, I can't say that. Little Tony. Little Tony's like third of Midland right now. You know what I mean? That's that. Young Money, I know Young Money went up there to Maryland. I'd like to get a race report about what Young Money has done. But we cannot forget Michigan. Michigan makes up a part of the Midwest. It's not all about Illinois. It's definitely Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana also. Together, you guys make up the Midwest. And
Exactly.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. It is about the Midwest. It's going to be a whole total different scenario now.
That's right.
A long time ago, all you got to do is just give them a chance to make a change. Give them a chance to make a transition over to what they're trying to do or what they're doing. I know these guys up this way, and I know that we have some very determined people up here in the Midwest, you know, and my thing with it is I was just really just speaking the truth.
Hold up. You know what?
Personal conception.
It seems like you more and more running than you were before. It seems like what you said.
When I first made that statement, Gunner, you know what they told me? Larry, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Ain't no damn car coming out. No Midwest going to do nothing. That's what they told me.
Man, what the hell?
I stood my ground. Larry, I know one guy personally, know him well, know him better than anybody in this world, know him. If he had some money, it would be a total shutdown. And I ain't going to call no names. And you know what I'm talking about. If he had any money, it would be over.
Hey, Rick, we know another guy, though. He kind of like on vacation right now. But if he was out here and had money, the South wouldn't rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a few of them here. If they had money, the South just, man, look, they couldn't rest. Every night of the week, the man would open the track up.
Well, based on what I think I know, what Larry said to be true.
You know, they just kind of let it be true. They had they run early because the guys up this way was not prepared for action. Now that it seems like they're coming to their own, their cars are getting ready to run. Because truth of the matter, that is really just holding the hope right now until some more of the guys get ready, because there's still some more guys that's getting ready, that's not ready, that's going to be a tear to the South. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a tear. I would hate to see Stevie go good.
You said Stevie? What Stevie? Hello?
Who is Gianfranco? Hey, guys.
I'm here, but somebody might have got a mic muted by accident, but I forgot to mention somebody. It's not just Donye holding up the Midwest by himself, so I'm remiss. Team SVO going out, kicking ass and taking names. I do see they're getting a lot of shootouts, so I would like to see them get into a little bit more grudging if they can get a grudge race. I'd like to see them grudge a little bit more. But Team SVO is also holding up the Midwest, so I'm serious. So we cannot forget Team SVO.
What about Chucky?
Oh, man, without a shadow of a doubt, man. Come on, man. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what I would like to see. Let me tell you why I say Donye. Donye is the one that's actively engaging outside of the Midwest. You know, whenever you hear about the Midwest or the Fade the Black camp kicking somebody's ass, you see that. You see Fade the Black going down the track. You know what I mean? Now, yes, Chuck is a bad MF. You know what I'm saying? Chuck can get out there and maybe do what it do. But as Chuck brings that car out, and he's able to get a grudge race, then I think you're going to hear Chuck's name also start to ring bells also. But, you know, like I said, every time you hear about the Chicago Most Wanted, you always see Fade the Black going down the track. So that's why I got to say Donye, and then you got Terry Clark, and what's Terry's partner? The other owner of SVO. Somebody help
me. You got some terrible guys out of Detroit there, John.
Terry.
That's what I was saying, Brian Anderson.
You said
Tony
Wright
in the corner over Gene Stevens and Most Wanted.
Wait a minute. Tony Wright beat Gene?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Now, I got to see that one. Man, I got
yep.
to see that one. Tony Wright beat Gene Stevens. Shit.
Yep.
Man, I tell you, for those who don't know who Gene Stevens is, I'll put up some footage. I'm going to go grab a clip of Gene Stevens' call from out of Thunder Valley. You can go to clocksoff.com and click the forums tab, and you'll see it up there in maybe about 2 or 3 hours about the morning. Go to clocksoff. You know what? I'm going to put up a couple of clips tonight. I'm going to put up some stuff that's going to be real interesting, and we'll go from there. It's going to be interesting, but, man, I'm surprised Tony Wright beat Gene Stevens, and that had to be a great race.
Okay. You heard me tell you the bad summer gun from the South. You heard me tell you that a few minutes ago, Gunner Pick.
Yes,
you were right, man.
But, brother, I didn't give a reason why him and Donye haven't raced yet.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, Rick, you just said that. You just said what you had told me earlier during the week, though, that Tony Wright is a force to be reckoned with.
Tony Wright is the baddest summer gun down South, boy. They talk that stuff. They might not like him. He a bad son of a gun. Like, keep on messing with him. They're going to find out.
Hey, Donye
beat Tony Wright, is over with for him.
Hey, what makes you think? Why did you give Tony Wright so much credit, Big Drag?
Because he a bad son of a gun. He racing and he fast. He racing.
And he talk,
and he talked hella shit. I like it all.
Well, that goes with the game. So that's a part of the game. The crap that he talked, you know, he should be talking it, especially when he is as bad as he is.
Well,
hey, if a man can't talk when he wins, when can he talk?
That's right. Tony backs his up.
Tony Wright to me is a complete package as a grudge racer. He's entertaining.
Totally.
He's the full package as a grudge racer to me. As a matter of fact, that's what I need to start calling him, the package, because he got it all. He got all bases covered. But and that's that. Hey, Drag, let me ask you a question. You know what, Drag? I'm gonna have to bring you on my show tonight. I'm gonna have to pair you up with some guys from out of the Northeast. You know, I think I'm gonna have to pair you up with Levi Holmes. And, you know, Jack, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow, Monday 1, and we're going to try to get some things done before this racing season goes out, before 2014 goes out. I got to get you a plane ticket to come on somewhere. Hello, hello. Did we lose the show?
Oh, well, I'm still here, man.
Okay.
Who is John Franco, man?
I don't know who John Franco is.
He's out of New York area.
Yeah, Jeffrey was out of New York.
Where's he racing at today?
He just won the back half shootout down there, I'm thinking here. Is what I'm reading.
John Franco. What car did he have?
Call Tippy Toe. Call Tippy Toe. See if Tippy Toe know who he is.
Camaro, most likely Tippy Toe was at the track, and when they're at the track,
I
hate to be bothered. I don't want to bother him like
Miss
that.
Gunn.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Rick. Can you guys help me out here? I got a text here. Text is telling me that we got a guy in the Detroit area. He's with Young Money. I think he said Detroit. I think he said Young Money. There's a car they got there called John Doe. You guys know
that? Yeah, I know it. What about it? What happened?
I know Young Money. I don't know the car, but I know Young Money.
Yeah. The car is really nice.
Is that Melvin?
Yeah.
You know that car, Melvin?
Yeah, I know it real good.
Is that car as bad as they saying it is? They're sending me texts saying they bought none.
Did he run anybody today?
No, I hadn't got a report of running. Pretty fast.
Yeah, it's quick. It's real quick.
I got some footage of the car. I'll try to get that up, too. From Lil Tony's last race, I had a chance to glimpse a little bit of footage off. I got to see if I can blur some things up. They had the hood off. And I don't show what's up under the hood, but I heard the car was quick also.
Yeah, I watched him in the shootout when he was just here at Milan for that $10,000 shoot. He should have won the shootout, but they went in there messing around with the tune-up. They got the first couple rounds, and in the third round they turned it up, and then the car wiggled and then got away from him. They had a lift, and then the other guy beat him. But the car run real good.
Is that that white Mustang, remember?
No, that white Mustang, that's Jimbo. The car we talking about is a Burgundy Malibu.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, got a Sunny motor in it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh.
And it got flames shooting out of it all the time.
Yeah, from the word go. And the Team Seal 6, that photo, LTD, beat Jolly Rancher. He beat Jolly Rancher.
Oh, hold on, Melvin. You said that.
He beat Jolly Rancher.
Hold on, Melvin. You said that the Fordor beat Jolly Rancher?
That's right.
And it's out of Fordor Chicago. What's his name? That's what's his name, Scott? What's his name? Dude showed him all night. What's his name, Melvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his name? They always campaign in that car.
Junior.
Yeah, Junior.
What's his name?
Oh, that's Puerto Rican Junior. That's Puerto Rican Junior from out of Chicago. Kevin.
No. What's my man?
Yes, Kevin. The Ford LTD is Puerto Rican Junior from out of Chicago. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
That's a bad.
They didn't catch what they called him Junior, but all the time we've been calling Puerto Rican Junior.
Yeah,
that's correct. That's the car that Junior built.
Yeah.
And that car beat Jolly Rancher tonight?
Beat Jolly Rancher.
That car can ride, man.
That's a bad bitch. When I seen him run up there 131, I was like, God damn.
That car got no cage photo.
Hey, Kevin, can I ask you a question, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
When are you going racing? Let's talk about this. You going? I'm just asking, man. Kevin, you're my favorite racer, man. When I go to bed at night, man, I just, you know, I can see you in your fire suit, standing with your helmet under your arm.
You're going to do right there.
We're gonna need a whole another show for that,
Kevin, that man went around at me.
I tell you what, hey Kevin, I tell you what, if you come to Big Drag Race on September 14th, I'll run you for $200. That Ford that he got, whatever. My first time in the car, I'll run you in your Vega, but you got to drive.
I got no problem, sir. But you know, I'm a worker cop right now.
You what now?
I'm working on my car right now, but I'm a worker cop. I got a call friend of mine on the phone right now. He's supposed to help me do some work. He said he'll do the work for me tomorrow.
But if you show up, I don't know. I don't know if I should be running that car. You got to run on motor. You know what I'm saying? You got to run on motor. And I'm assuming you're a small block, right, sir?
There you go, assuming.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Hold on. I tell you what. You ain't locked nothing in yet. You know, you said you'll do it, but I tell you what. If my boss man, Big Drag, say that we can get by you, I'm going out there. I don't give a fuck how you sit. Now, there you have it.
You can always get a problem with a big truck like that.
And that's that. I'm not going to be no – I'm not going to be no shitty-ass blood racer. We going out there. That's Big Drag Race.
Kevin, you out work right now,
ahead,
Kevin. Drag. You told me you wasn't working, right?
Drag, that's what I told you.
Okay, get your car, load up, get it on the trail, get it over here. That's what you called me about the other day. I'll fix it in 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
I'll get them all on for you. You can head back home. Get your car over here, and we'll fix it, and you can go back to Detroit. And whatever you are going to do, I'm not in the middle of that now. I gave him something to go racing with. Whatever y'all book, that's on y'all. Both of y'all are right with me.
Well, you know what? I already won, because he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do nothing, so I already won. That car will not see you in Chicago, Big Drag, tomorrow or the next day or the week after. Now, so hell,
you coming down like that? Hold on, man. I'm going to tell you like this here. This is Cadillac, man.
I know your voice.
Cadillac is in the north, man, in Chi-Town. We stand up, man. Look here, Kevin. I'll come get you, man. Let me know. I'll come get you. Gunner, you ain't studying, Gunner.
You know
we
what?
We're going to make this happen, man. We're going to make this
happen. You know what, Cadillac? Hey, Cadillac, you damn Judas. He from Michigan anyway, and I'm repping Chicago. I'm repping Illinois. He from Michigan. You damn Judas, go get the motherfucker. Go get him.
I'm going to get him. I ain't gonna do this either.
Yes, you are.
I don't care nothing about that, man. I like Chicago. I like Chicago. I want to ruffle your feathers, man. I want to ruffle your feelings
in
this game.
Go downtown Chicago. Get you a cardboard box and get you a paddle and roll your ass to Michigan. You like Michigan so much. Just hop your ass in the water downtown and roll your ass on over to Michigan.
At the end of the day, man, we're going to take care of this business, man.
And the business is trying to kick Michigan's teeth down their mouth every chance that we get. Now, if you know what, Cadillac, I ain't speaking to you no more, man. But, hey, listen, when we at home, we fight against ourselves. But when it's time to go out, we need to stand together. Well, I need to get a little talk
on no fight.
Business,
no, this ain't no fight, man.
Yeah, there's always a dog fight, man. We're talking racing now. Come on, man. We're talking racing.
I want to see both of y'all get in the beans, man. I want to see both of y'all get in the beans. That's what I'm saying. You got to understand the man ain't going to go.
He ain't gonna go. He ain't gonna bust a damn grape in the vineyard. He ain't gonna bust a grape in the vineyard. We talking about Kevin now, and everybody on this show knows. September 14th, get your ass down. How about that? I got something to call.
Hey Gunner,
yes,
hey Gunner, I got race with you. You gonna run a motor, right?
You said what now?
You gonna run a motor?
Yeah. The car's a motor car. The car's a motor car.
I got a real small tire car. Okay, that's what I'm gonna give you. If I get over there, race,
give me the top up. We go to a 500 light. Give me the top up. You got to leave them in green.
I don't know what the fuck you talking about. I'm still too green for that shit. So I tell you what, just get your ass over there. With the girl. Just bring your ass over there to Temple 14. We'll work all of the details out. Either which way.
No,
man, you got
are we doing it right now?
Hey, man, listen, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. How about that? I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you.
You leave on a green. Give me the top yellow.
You say me leave on the green and give you the top yellow. No, hell no. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what I give you. I'm going to give you some hard dick and some bubble gum. Just get the other lane. How about that?
Hey, Gunner.
Take that.
Hey, Gunner.
I tell you what, if you get the other lane, I'm going to try to put it in you. No Vaseline. I'm going to give you some spit. And that's about it.
Southern Assassin got the money, man.
Southern Assassin got the money. All right. Yep. Damn. Well, there you have it. Southern Assassin's got the money. Yep. Boy, I know that had to hurt. I know that had to hurt them, boy. They thought they was going to take that money back home, boy, and keep it in the family. Nope. I hope they had a good event. But that's what we need more, put more money in the racist pockets. But,
I'm watching a video of Lil Rick and Danye. Yeah, Lil Rick and them spun the tire.
Okay.
Where do you find the video at, Mel?
On Wooly Dog's Buddy's page, Matt Mahagan, Mahorn. Mac McGohorn. He got it on the
board. Is that on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Man, I don't know how to get on no Facebook, man.
Oh, it's a little hard to navigate.
You said Lil Rick, tired over? Yeah, he's fun to tie.
Well, you know they always say that foul, right? They say he won the race and he lost. They didn't ask you how he did it.
He lost the race. I'm just saying, with him spinning it, you know that's going to be a rematch now. So.
You know. I found this in a minute races. When you go into that first win, that first race, and you lose, and you want to accept the fact that that guy just beat you, you come with this excuse or that excuse, or you listen to someone telling you you did this, you did that, it's 99% of the time it'll cost you twice.
Well, you know, them guys, they'd be back for a rematch with a spinning the tire like it just did.
That's good action for you.
He couldn't have been 200 feet out and he was moving around.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that makes for good action again.
Yep. So we definitely
run away from that. I take Danye the second time around with a gap.
Did Danye run away from him or was it close, man?
No, it wasn't even close after that.
Okay.
Danye was gone. When he moved around, it was over.
Rick, you know, that's going to be his boy's race. His boy got something to do with this race down there.
Who? Danye boy?
Yeah, Scotty G.
Okay.
They said G got something to do with the race, and he's a bad man. But you ought to know that a G sat out racing a big old 70 deuce, which he was racing for then. But Scotty G used to run a 70 deuce back in the early 80s. He would drive that thing from New York to Kentucky and run 12 pitches with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's been racing a long time, man. He's I don't know if he do now, but I know he used to hit with some Pat Musa. He was Pat Musa man, hit man.
Okay.
He real sharp, man.
I'm hoping that other race don't even take place.
Now, they got a lot of stuff now they didn't have then. But back in, I think, 86, that it took stuff that you would go to the junkyard today and get around 780 with a beer, with 86 Regal with a big block in it. Just to show you how sharp he is. He's been around.
Uh-huh.
He's been around a long time. Nasty with the Ninja. He's real nasty.
The Southern Assassin,
yeah.
Where is he from?
Who's Scotty G?
Southern Assassin. Carolinas. Southern Assassin from North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Hey, D.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said?
I was there.
I said, I hope that race don't take place.
Which one?
The one between Donye and Tony Wright.
What is that?
Because when it's over, when the race is over with, when the race is over with, Donye season is over with.
Yeah,
from
well,
from the south for sure.
You know, I'm sure Drag would agree with what I'm about to tell you. Man, it's going to come a point to where it's going to be over anyway, and we don't want it to be over early. We always want it to be over late.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes back. See, this one become make it sound kind of contradicting to what we were saying earlier. A race like that, you got to go in that kind of race, and you got to go in knowing that if I beat this man, this going to end my racing in the south. And mother guy's not coming. So what you want to do then? You can help yourself or you can hurt yourself. You normally hurt yourself because you try to load that bet up. You know, you try to make it be the biggest bet you can possibly come up with because you know within yourself this is going to end. Well, that might take place and not. I know one young man down there that's got a bag with him. So they try to load the bet up. He's going to cover it. I can promise he's going to cover it. But, you know, that makes it sound contradicting what I was saying earlier. Get the bet down with racing, you know. But I agree with Rick. I done watched some videos on the man. I don't know him personally. But Tony talks a lot of smack. And every race he's ever talked about, he go out there and bag it up. Yeah. The race I want to see take place is I want him to whoop Tony back. That's the race I want to see.
Number one, Donye is the loneliest number.
True.
That's why I always tell people I don't want to be number one, and I don't want to be number two because that's too close to number one. But when the Saints go marching in, I just want to be in that number. All I want to do is get through the gate.
See, the thing with being number one, last, man, I can contest it. There's only one place to go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're set two places, but you're hovering. When your hovering days are over, they're going to want for you to go. That's down.
Yeah.
Either by way of someone beating you, or by way of some unsuspected, untold fortune. But the end scenario is that there's only two places to go when you're at the top. You hover, and then you go down.
Hey, B, where's Gunner Peace go?
Gunner, you
I'm
see
here. I'm right here. I'm just listening.
Man, I sent you some pictures of that Ford, Gunner Peace.
I think I did see pictures of the Ford.
You got scared about it.
I sent you some pictures of it. Of the leading line. I think he got dogs on one and got on the cover.
That's right.